Good morning. It's 9:03, February 8th, 2012. A call to order for the City of Dallas City Council meeting. Good morning to all of us. And I'd like to welcome Senior Pastor of Salem Institution Baptist Church, Pastor Todd Atkins, to lead us in our invocation. Pastor Atkins has been a great addition to Salem, and it's a fabulous institution in the history of this city. And Pastor Atkins is a great preacher and has a fabulous congregation. And after that, Ms. Margolin will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you, Pastor Atkins, for joining us. And just a little bit of a trivia question. This is Councilman Atkins' son. So it's great to have you here, Todd.
Thank you. Shall you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for this time in which we come together, the leaders of this great city, to make the decisions that not only affect some, but affect everybody as a whole. Father, give us wisdom and clarity that we may make the right decision. Give us the heart to stand by each decision. And give us the boldness to stand in every decision. In your name we do pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin. Did you want to say something?
Well, actually, I'd like to say two things. First, I want to introduce some guests that I have here today. We have the leadership, the officers of the Student Council of Thomas Jefferson High School. And why don't you wave? I'd like to introduce them. Veronica Espino, who is the president. Vanessa Marinkes, Vice President, Leo Martinez, Treasurer, and Rachel Essman, Secretary. And we are delighted to have you here, and Mr. Trubit, who is their advisor, who brought them here today. So we welcome the TJ Student Council leadership. I also wanted to comment on an event, a press conference that I attended yesterday with Ms. Alonzo. It was a donation by Comerica Bank, and it was a very, very generous donation. Their CEO, Ralph Babb, was there. They donated 900 e-books, a large African-American collection to the City of Dallas Libraries. And in addition to that, they donated 30 Kindle readers so that people could read the 900 e-books that they had donated. And I know that Ms. Hasso, whose district it is in, would have wanted to be there but was out of town on city business. And so Ms. Alonzo and I were privileged to be there.
Thank you, Ms. Morgan. It was a great moment for the African-American, Black History Month, and our libraries and pull all together. And it's a great library down there. Thank you, and let's get on with the business.
Mr. Mayor, may I have a few words, please?
Oh, excuse me.
I'm sorry.
I didn't see your name up there.
That's okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and thank you very much for the opportunity. I also, too, want to welcome the Thomas Jefferson High School members of the Student Council, even though it's in Ms. Margolin's district. The schools, some of the students also belong to District 6. So thank you very much, and thank you for coming. I hope this is not your last time. I hope it's the beginning of many more to come, and you all are always welcome as we tell everyone that this is your house. Thank you very much, and I also want to thank everyone, or mostly thank Comerica, and it was a privilege for me to be there as an invitee, but also as I was asked by Ms. Hassel to say a few words, and it was a pleasure. For thank you to Comerica for what they donated to the libraries, and I also reiterate what I said there, is that we need to tell everyone to participate in the library so that they can be able to have that opportunity as well as learn more, especially the kids that are doing several projects in the schools. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin with your morning speakers. We do have several speakers for you this morning. First speaker is Cece Cox, followed by Patty Fink, Daniel Cates, Dennis Coleman, Omar Narvaez. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record. If you will please address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. My name is Cece Cox. I am the CEO of Resource Center Dallas. We're located at 2701 Reagan Street in Dallas. We operate the largest lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community center in the entire state of Texas and one of the largest in the country. We also provide programs and services for people living with HIV in Dallas County and surrounding counties. We have 4 facilities in the city. We have over 50 employees. We're funded by the United Way and proud to receive that public support, and we are an integral part of the fabric of Dallas. Thank you for allowing me to be here today and to address you. In 3 minutes, one needs to get to the point, and the point is about equality, and there are a lot of different ways to talk about that. I will specifically address it through the topic of marriage. I'm here to ask Mayor Rawlings to do something, and I'm here to ask you as City Council people to support him in signing a pledge for marriage equality. This issue has been in the news quite a bit. I've spoken personally with Mayor Rawlings. I'm not here as a surprise to him. And this is a matter of standing for justice, pure and simple. That's what it's about. The mayor was asked to sign the pledge several weeks ago and has given a number of reasons why not to do that. One of them, that it doesn't traditionally fall within the purview of city business, traditional matters such as filling potholes, etc. I would argue this has a distinct difference. This is pure and simple about equality, civil rights, and justice for a large population that you have living here in Dallas, the 6th largest LGBT community in the United States. And when one stands up for justice, it requires courage. It requires going outside of the regular rules and the regular lines, and that's what we're here to ask for. It's what I'm asking for today. And how being excluded from the right to marry, that's what the issue is, how that impacts real people that work in this city. It impacts my family. I tucked my son into bed last night, and I took him to school this morning. He's 13 years old. This is a mean state to live in when you're an out lesbian who has a family. The state doesn't recognize my family, and the best I can have for him is a joint managing conservatorship, because my state does not recognize my relationship with my spouse and therefore does not offer the protections to my son that others have through a legally recognized marriage. My partner is a federal judge. She's over in the federal building. She's been cleared by the FBI. She's been deemed to be worthy of serving her country. She pays into her Social Security benefits, and at the moment of her death, I won't receive any of those benefits, whereas her heterosexual colleagues down the hall can pass those survivorship benefits. Being excluded from legally recognized marriage is the issue and is what is demeaning and discriminatory to LGBT people. Please stand up for equality. Take the courageous position. Encourage your mayor to do the same and understand this has real impact for many people who serve you in this city. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Cox.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Patty Fink.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. My name is Patty Fink. I reside with my partner at 324 Easton Road, Dallas, Texas, 75218. I live in Mr. Cadane's district, and proudly so. I come today as president of the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance, an organization that is the oldest nonpartisan civil rights organization working on behalf of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender equality in the city of Dallas. We've been around since 1976. Indeed, Cece Cox was a past president of DGLA in the past, some years ago. I come today to speak not only about marriage equality, but of something very real and very sacred to everyone who lives a life in Texas and certainly in Dallas, and that is employment. And employment non-discrimination is something we desperately need in this state. We have a non-discrimination ordinance in the city that is in May will be 10 years old, and yet no one has been prosecuted under that ordinance in all of those years. The employment portion, there's also housing and public accommodations. The employment portion comes outside of every other kind of employment discrimination process that the city would follow. Indeed, with a $500 fine, we were pursuing avenues of a human relations commission or some other avenue to funnel those complaints and investigations. And really what we need is a Texas Employment Non-Discrimination Act or Federal Employment Non-Discrimination Act, an ENDA. And I come today and ask Mayor Rawlings and ask council members today, and many of whom we discussed this in the campaign season very specifically, and that is a resolution from the City Council in support of a Texas ENDA. And I ask that because this city and every major city in Texas deserves, and small towns too, deserves a workforce out there that is dedicated 100% to productivity on the job. And when a person has fears, as we do in many cities in Texas, being fired simply because you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgendered, that's a problem. That's a problem. So they're going to spend a lot of their time making sure other people don't know they're gay or transgendered or bisexual. And we're fortunate in Dallas, we have sort of a toothless non-discrimination ordinance that we want to give more meat to, but what would really solve the problem would be to have an Employment Non-Discrimination Act in Texas, and certainly federally, so that we could have EEO support and resources and investigations. So I would ask that you use your power as a body to adopt a resolution in support of Texas ENDA in the next legislative session in Texas, in the 2013 session. This has been up again and again and again for passage, and we still have a legislature that won't take Section 2106 off the books, even though it's unconstitutional. So we ask for your support in protecting employment in Texas.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Fink.
Your next speaker is Daniel Cates.
Good morning. My name is Daniel Cates. I reside at 4601 Amesbury Drive with my partner in Angela Hunt's district. I'm also the North Texas coordinator for Get Equal Texas. Today I am speaking to you as a citizen, and I'm speaking, of course, about the Mayors for the Freedom to Marry pledge that Mayor Rawlings has continued to refuse to sign in support of all of his citizens. Mayor Rawlings, you have said that you believe that the citizens of your city, all citizens of your city, deserve the right to marry the person that they love. And you believe that on a personal level. But you have also said that taking a stand for the civil rights of thousands of your citizens is not your job. And that by remaining neutral, you are able to be a broker for discussions between the LGBT community of Dallas and those who would strip us of our humanity. Mr. Mayor, I believe you are a good man. I believe you when you say that you believe in equality. But we are here to remind you today that where civil rights are concerned, there is no such thing as a neutral position. To quote Archbishop Desmond Tutu, when you remain neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. Mayor Rawlings, when good men like you remain silent, the sexists, homophobes, and racists of the world win. When good men like you do not speak up, the George Wallaces of the world are validated. When you remain neutral, liberty and justice for all is threatened. We know there is much to do before full recognition of LGBT equality becomes a reality. We know it will take leadership. You do not have to be controversial. All we're asking for you to do is sign a simple pledge, to take a simple and powerful stand starting today. It won't cost this city a single penny. It won't disrupt the business of this city for even a moment. It won't force anyone to change their personal beliefs, but it will send a message to our state legislature that the people who live and work in your city deserve equal treatment under the law. It will tell 17,440 children in the state of Texas that their mommies and daddies are the same as the mommies and daddies of their peers. And it will tell more than 14,000 people in the city in loving, committed relationships that they will grow old with their partners together in a community that values them. All you have to do is join your counterparts from every corner of our great nation and sign the pledge. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Next speaker is Dennis Coleman. Mr. Coleman will be followed by Omar Narvaez.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Dennis Coleman, the Executive Director of Equality Texas. I live with my partner at 9209 Vinewood Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75228. I'm a native Dallasite, living here for 48 years, born and raised in South Oak Cliff. I would like to first thank you for this opportunity to address you. Equality Texas is the only statewide organization that lobbies and advocates for the elimination of discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression at the state capitol. This last legislative session, we successfully passed two anti-bullying bills to protect the school children of Texas. Both laws received broad bipartisan support and was signed by the governor. I'm here to talk to you today about two subjects: family recognition, that includes marriage for same-sex couples, and employment and discrimination. Both are 2013 legislative priorities for Equality Texas, and I would like to ask the City of Dallas to take the lead in the state of Texas. In 2010, Equality Texas commissioned the first ever statewide poll on LGBT issues. This is the first ever statewide poll conducted on LGBT issues. Of the two priorities I mentioned, 64.3% of voting Texans support civil unions for same-sex couples, 46% of voting Texans support marriage for same-sex couples. This is a dramatic change from 2005 when we only had 24% of support. 75.4% of voting Texans support laws that prohibit discrimination in employment and housing for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Texans. Mayor Rawlings, in your recent meeting with the LGBT community, you said signing a pledge was not really doing something, and you wanted to support the LGBT community in some concrete way. I asked you and the council to look to our neighbors to the west who had a similar request. In response, the Fort Worth City Council was asked to vote to empower the city lobbyists to advocate for ENDA and marriage equality in Austin and D.C. I ask you and the City Council to go one step further, not only to empower your lobbyists to advocate for ENDA and marriage equality, but also ask your other cities to also join you in this fight for equality. Employment non-discrimination will be a top priority in 2013. I make myself available to you and the council. And always remember, equality is good for business. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Omar Narvaez.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and council members. My name is Omar Narvaez. I reside at 9309 Lindbrook Drive in the heart of Lake Highlands. Mr. Allen is my council representative. In 2003, the state of Texas had a law in the books called that went to the U.S. Supreme Court that was overturned. The case is called Lawrence v. Texas. That case in 2003 is what legitimized same-sex relationships in our country. Sadly, that is still on the books here in the state of Texas. It's unenforceable, but it's still on the books. In 2003, we had no state with marriage equality. In 2003, we had no hate crimes legislation that was fully inclusive of sexual orientation. In 2003, we had Don't Ask, Don't Tell as the law of this land. In 2012, none of that is true anymore. But in 2012, Mr. Mayor, there is a pledge that we need you to sign that says that you recognize us. And I understand, Mr. Mayor, that you believe in our relationships, but we need the city to stand with us. We are good citizens. We are organized. We pay our taxes, and we do our part. I serve on the City of Dallas Commission for Community Development. I'm also a member of the LGBT Task Force. I give my part back to the city because I love the city of Dallas. My partner and I have 16 years, and that's a lot more than most heterosexual couples have been together in our nation. But 16 years, and I applaud you for saying that you recognize our relationship. But in those 16 years, I'm able to cover, thank God I'm able to cover my partner on my health insurance. But in those 16 years, I have to pay an average of $3,000 more annually in federal income taxes because my relationship is not recognized by the government. We need marriage equality in this country. $3,000 in this economy is a big deal. $3,000. I know you're a businessman. Me spending $3,000 more, I guarantee you, I'm not a saver. I'm not a big money guy like you. $3,000 for me, I'm gonna spend it in the city, and I'm gonna help put that back into our tax coffers. We need this legislation. We need you to stand with us. Being silent doesn't help us. We need you to stand with us. As to employment non-discrimination, our families, all we want to do is what every single one of you want to do with your families, which is feed them, send them to good schools, and live in a great city. I love the city of Dallas. City of Dallas is one of the greatest cities. But it's really hard right now, Mr. Mayor, when I go all over the country traveling to different conferences and asking LGBT conferences, since the day you decided that you wouldn't sign the pledge, being the eighth largest city in the country without our mayor supporting us yet, a lot of those conferences are saying, we're not coming to Dallas. I want them here in Dallas. Support us, Mr. Mayor. Sign the pledge.
Thank you. I also want to say thank you to all representing different parts of Dallas. There was a subtlety there, but I think it's an important thing to understand as well. Ms. Hasso.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And I also want to thank you all of you, the five of you, for coming down today. I know each one of you has a job that you have to be at every day, and you took time out to come down and reinforce your message. You have an advocate here. I told you 3 years ago when I ran for city council in the beginning that I would advocate for you because there was not an openly gay person on this council. If there were no Hispanics on this council, I would want an advocate also. So I thank you for coming down here. I thank you for being part of the GLBT task force that I began in 2009. I thank you for all the work that you're doing, Patty Fink, to provide training for our police and fire. All of you, the entire GLBT community, gives back to this city tenfold, not only with your sales dollars, but with your advocacy, your volunteerism, your support of all of the things good that are happening in this city. So I just want to reinforce to you that I'm here as an advocate. I support you, and please continue to communicate with me, and we'll see how many other of my colleagues can come over to this side as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hasso. Let's move to the next item, Ms. Rios.
The next item on your agenda is approval of minutes of the January 25, 2012 City Council meeting.
Second. Motion is second. Any edits, changes, comments? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now with approval of your consent agenda, which will consist of items number 2 through 18 and 20 through 24, as well as addendum items number 1, 3, and 4. Pulled for individual consideration was item number 19 by Councilmember Davis and addendum item number 2 by Councilmembers Hill and Hunt as well. We do have 14 speakers on that item. Therefore, for consideration is agenda items number 2 through 18, 20 through 24, and addendum items number 1, 3, and 4.
Thank you. We have that read in the record. Do we have a motion to approve? Mr. Adkins, second. We have a second, Ms. Coop. Any other discussion on those items? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. For your first item for consideration is item number 19. Item number 19 is authorized the quitclaim of 57 properties acquired by the taxing authorities from the sheriff's sale to the highest bidders. Councilmember Davis pulled the item.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Ms. Davis.
Yes, Mayor. I move that agenda item 19 be approved with the exception of property within District 7, and that District 7 property be brought back to City Council for consideration at the next agenda meeting.
We have a motion, Mr. Edmonds, seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your next item is addendum items number 2, is authorized number 1, establishment of a nonprofit corporation, the City of Dallas Education Finance Corporation, for the purpose of financing or refinancing of educational facilities and or housing facilities incidental to education facilities. Number 2, approval of the corporation's certificate of formation and bylaws. Number 3, appointment of the corporation's initial board of directors. Number 4, the mayor to execute and deliver a certificate approving the bonds to be issued for the benefit of Uplift Education, a Texas nonprofit corporation, and the facilities to be financed with the proceeds of the bonds for the purpose of satisfying the requirements of Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended, and number 5, the city manager to file the corporation certificate of formation with the Secretary of State. Again, Mr. Mayor, we do have two council members that asked that item to be pulled. That was Councilmember Hunt, Councilmember Hill, and we do have 14 individuals to speak on that item.
Great, thank you. Before we do, Mr. Ernst, are you here? I just want to ask a couple of questions for everybody for clarification.
Yes, sir.
First of all, this is a little complicated in reading it. Would you, if you could say this in English, what we are doing here?
The council is considering authorizing the establishment of a corporation. The corporation would be used for, it's a special purpose vehicle for providing educational financing.
Okay. And are we taking on liability as a city?
No, the city is not.
Are we giving approval to Uplift to do anything else?
At this point, all that is being asked is to establish the corporation. We would propose within the proposal, we'd make one amendment to clarify that any financing, any individual financing, would have to come back to council for council.
Okay, so we're just establishing the vehicle.
Correct.
Right now. We're not making decisions about whether we do it or not.
Whether any financing.
Whether any financing makes sense. Thank you.
Correct.
Thank you, Mr. Ernst. I just want to kind of clarify that. Let's listen to our speakers.
Thank you. Your first speaker is Chris Williams. Chris Williams. Not present. DeMarcus Offord. Not present. Holsey Hickman. Mr. Hickman, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. If you'll please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning. I'm Holsey O. Hickman. I reside at 603 Green Cove Lane, Dallas, Texas, 75232-1339. I stand in opposition to the development of this education finance corporation. In 1982, when I moved my family to Dallas, the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Brown was 28 years old. When I got to Dallas, Dallas's attempt at integration was only 11 years old. Those forces which worked against the integration of segregation, integration of public schools in this city, receded after the courts entered in terms of getting this school system integrated. Those forces that held off for 17 years have, in the last 10 years, been on the rise. Those forces which oppose integration are rooted in the oppression of slaves in this country. When laws were passed which forbid people under threat of going to jail to teach slaves how to read. That anti-education attitude towards slaves continues to find expression in this current school system. For this community to establish a corporation in spite of those assurances that were just given in terms of the exposure of the city is a part of that rhythm which gave rise to the creation of that hotel down there, which put the city at risk in terms of its success. Why is it that the city of Dallas needs to come up with a funding source for charter schools? Why can't they find their own money? Why does the city have to be involved in establishing a corporation to provide financial resources? This city, along with other cities who are attempting to establish or restructure the way education happens in this country, they've laid the foundation based on the failure of public education, and those forces which oppose the integration of Dallas school system are alive and well and seeking to restructure education in this state and across the country. During slavery, people profited. May I make this last point, Mr.
Please,
Mayor?
Please.
People profited off of the backs of slaves. And now they're coming up with a system to profit off the minds of our children for a profit.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Brenda Fields. Brenda Fields. Not present. Seguin Tyler. Not present. Robert D. Jones. Robert D. Jones will be followed by Eric Williamson, Steve Goodall, Shirley Daniels, David Lee, Marion Barnett, Juanita Wallace.
And you have the mayor and the other two guys that you called earlier are here.
Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Good evening. My name is Robert Delane Jones. I reside at 1716 Chattanooga Place, apartment 1227, Dallas, Texas, 75235. I am here by way of the educational issue with DISD. I'm a veteran, and I don't really know what's going on with the issues, but what's happening with me and my children and my community and the schools is that the schools are being closed down, and I'm opposed to that. As far as researching to find out what's going on, I'm being asked to come out and be involved and let my voice be heard. When I come out to get involved, I feel like I'm not being heard, and I feel like I'm not being respected. I had children to come to my house and ask me to sign a petition. It was two little girls. When I began to start helping the little girls, and I went to the DISD Board of Trustees, we did a petition with 600 names, and on the day that the board had voted, they never looked at the petitions or never gave any consideration to the community or the petitions. That's one of my issues. Did I do everything for nothing? Are the voices really being heard? Second of all, this document right here, it reads that be it resolved by the Dallas Independent School District Board of Trustees that the Board of Trustees approved the recommended school consolidation, and it was signed on January 20th, 2012, but yet the vote didn't take place until the 26th, which meant that all the pickings that I did and the protesting and the signing of the petition, they had already decided that they were going to close down the schools. That means that, again, I showed up at the board meeting, but I showed up for nothing. It was just another dog and pony show. Second of all, on this document right here, the ISD built a gym for $475,000 at the school in my community, and now the school is being closed down. I am here to ask the city council, are you guys listening, or are you guys going to listen to the people that's going to come before you today? Because I also attended another meeting where it was called an ad hoc committee meeting, and I seen an individual named Todd Williams in this uplift education that it looked like.
Your 3 minutes are up. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Eric Williamson. Eric Williamson will be followed by Steve Goodall, Shirley Daniels, David Lee. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Eric Williamson, 3507 Bryan Street. I am the president of the Bryan Place Neighborhood Association. We serve approximately 780 homes in the Bryan Place area and have around 200 active members. So it's unusual for us to be here in opposition to a education initiative, especially one with Uplift Education, as Peak Preparatory is just to our east on Bryan Street. And so we are very proud of associations with Peak Preparatory and as well as DISD schools in the immediate area. That said, there's something on the agenda item that we were virtually unanimous in opposing, and think it's we would like you to send a message to Uplift today. And I read from the last few sentences of the background. In particular, in 2012-13, Uplift expects to open Laureate Secondary Preparatory to serve Dallas's Deep Ellum area. We have a huge problem with this. Deep Ellum is an entertainment district just to our north, separated only by the Meadows Foundation and similar areas along Swiss. So while we are a very close-knit residential neighborhood with very few entertainment areas, we value that Deep Ellum is close to us and allows those entertainment options. We have people in our neighborhood own businesses in Deep Ellum. My own fiance attends comedy classes. We are at those businesses constantly. In fact, we're having our wedding in Deep Ellum on Commerce Street. We think this is a terrible idea to have a school in Deep Ellum. It is an entertainment district. Many of them are alcohol-related. It's a no-brainer that it shouldn't be there. If this was a public institution that is Uplift, we would have meetings and be able to lobby them. Unfortunately, it is a nonprofit with different regulations. However, this City of Dallas Council can send them a message that we're happy to have Uplift in schools, but you need to be responsible to the neighborhoods. And so if you put a school in the middle of an entertainment district where that neighborhood clearly does not want this, and I'm here to say the surrounding neighborhoods in agreement. We haven't had time to organize, but the surrounding neighborhoods will agree with it. And so I'm hoping that there are more speakers here from Deep Ellum proper, but that's not the whole point. We would strongly encourage you to send a message to Uplift to either absolutely vote this down or have them come back at a time when they can not propose a divisive project that will be unpopular with the city and many of the residents in the city. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Steve Goodall. Steve Goodall, not present. Shirley Daniels. Shirley Daniels will be followed by David Lee, Marion Barnett, Juanita Wallace, Rena Honey, and George Rangel.
Good evening, council members, Mayor. My name is Shirley Daniels. I'm here today to express my concerns about the way education is being handled. I've been an advocate for education over 35 years. I've had 8 children to go through schools in DISD and do very well. I was very active in their education. But the reason I'm here today, I have not seen one institution fight against another institution of education as I am seeing the group called Uplift, which is supposed to be an educational institution. I've seen over the past few weeks the chairman of that educational institution, which is Uplift, recommend to close 9-11 schools that were doing very well educating our students in the community. I've seen the chair of the budget committee recommend to add extra time on teachers. I've seen everything that I've seen with this group has been against education. I would be the first one to say if a school was not educating students, then something needs to take place. But all of these 11 schools were being the product of educating our young people. Every last one of those schools were exemplary or blue ribbon schools. But to have the chairman recommend that these schools be closed was just devastating. So now they're coming to you all, the city council, asking to give them money to uplift, I call it uproot, some more schools that are doing well. I looked up the word lift. That means to remove. I refuse to let this institution that's supposed to be educating students uproot other institutions that are doing well. That's not what education is about, council members. It's about working to educate, not uproot the educational process. I'm asking, please do not give monies to uproot education in our community. Thank you.
Your next speaker is David Lee. David Lee, not present. Marion Barnett, Marion Barnett will be followed by Juanita Wallace, Rena Honey, and George Rangel.
To the Dallas City Council, I'm Marion Barnett, 3912 Morning Frost Trail, 75224. To the mayor and to my own representative, the former mayor, Mr. Carraway, and to all of the council. I'm here speaking against this proposal that's being made to our city. Our city do not need to get into competition against the Dallas Independent School District. When we are talking about Uplift and other schools that are out there, these charter schools, they dip into the same teal that the ISD dip. Money is coming from the same place, and for the city to get in and to help another entity against the Dallas Public Schools, I do not think it should happen. It's our money. We're taxpayers, and we resent the idea of private people coming in and asking for our money to compete against our public schools. It is wrong, it's sinister, it's evil, and it's a diabolical antithesis of things that ought to go on in Dallas. There have always been those who were against great education in Dallas, always have fought against the things. They fought against Townview. It was cut down
the cost of Townview. It was supposed to have been even a greater school than it is today, but there were those who fought against the education in Townview, and now Townview produced the two of the finest high schools in America. What we need to do, I would love to see the council do, yes, work with the public schools. We have people, we have a mayor that said he was going to work with the public schools. I heard your commercials, and work with those who are out there. Charter schools can cherry pick. They don't have to take who walk in that door. They don't have to take those who live in that geographical area where that school serves. We don't need these type of practices going on here in the city of Dallas. Yes, we need the city council to work with our school district, but we don't need them to undercut our public schools by lifting up charter schools who are privately owned, and they're very lucrative for many. But we need them, if they're going to do something, let them raise their own money. Don't use our tax dollars. Don't abuse us like this. We hope that the City Council of Dallas will be listening to what we've got to say and really work with us and not against us. And when we can work together, we can walk together, we can live together, we can play together, we can have a good time together. But any time you start working against the people that actually fund this city, you're working in opposition to those who adhere to public schools. We thank you.
Your next speaker, Juanita Wallace. Juanita Wallace, not present.
Good morning. Juanita Wallace, 1409 South Lamar, Dallas, Texas, 75215. There are people who opened charter schools and did not finish high school. If they love education, why didn't they get it for themselves? Charter schools are for profit. Let's not fool ourselves. Parents buy into the idea of charter schools being told that they have new approaches, innovative instructional strategies, and accelerated academic achievement is available. Not so. Charter schools are for profit. The Center for Research in Education Outcomes examined charter schools data in 15 states in the District of Columbia. And I like to go on data. 17% of the charter school students outperform their peers, but 46% perform no better and 37% perform worse. Now, what do you say about that data? Put your money in public schools. For years, we fought against segregation, rejecting the notion of separate but equal, and we oppose any dual education. Let's look at New York. A lawsuit was filed May 18, 2011, just last year in Manhattan, Supreme Court to stop the closing of 22 New York public schools and block 17 charter schools from opening and expanding. Let's do it here if we can't get the city council to help us. Charter school is a quick buck off the backs of blacks and browns here in the city of Dallas. Fight for quality education for our children and not for profit. Down with charter schools and up with public schools. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Rena Honey. Hope I pronounced your name correctly, ma'am. I apologize.
Good morning, Mayor Rollins, City Council members. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Rena Honey. I reside at 3122 West Jefferson Boulevard in Dallas. Ms. Hosso is my representative, and thank you for your service as well as all of you. I'm here to speak against the formation of the EFC Corporation for the Uplift Charters. Number one, why the rush? This item was presented to the Economic Development Committee just Monday, and they brought it to you just 2 days later for your approval. This does not allow sufficient time for public input and a thorough consideration of the proposal. Uplift claims that it needs to be passed quickly so that they can prepare a campus to open this fall, but shouldn't they have considered the timelines a little bit closer and brought it to you much sooner for this consideration? Also, the charters directly compete with our public schools in Dallas ISD. They recruit students that would otherwise attend Dallas ISD schools. The students are chosen by lottery, but the students and their parents have to take the initiative to apply to attend that campus. Students that do not live up to their commitments are removed from uplist schools. One of the commitments they sign says, "Failure to adhere to these commitments can cause me to lose privileges and can lead to the removal from my removal from uplift schools." These students then have to find another school to attend, and most of them go back to the Dallas ISD because they can't afford private schools. It's an unfair advantage that Uplift has the ability to dismiss the students while Dallas ISD opens their arms to every student that comes to those doors. Another thing is that the vast majority of the schools do not outperform the public schools. You were just given some statistics that came from, it's called the Credo study from the Center for Research on Education Outcomes. It was the most comprehensive study of charter schools to date, and it studied 70% of the charter schools in the United States. I represent 9,000-plus teachers and support employees in the Alliance of Dallas Educators. I'm the president of that organization, and we ask that you please help us strengthen our public schools in Dallas by reducing the competition that comes from charter schools. They don't have a board of trustees, an elected official that they represent or that they account to, and we ask that you stop this, ask them to go to other organizations to do their funding and not do it on the citizens of Dallas. We need to strengthen our public schools, and we ask for your help to be able to do that. Thank you for your service and your time this morning.
Your next speaker is George Runhill. Mr. Runhill would be followed by Chris Williams and DeMarcus Offord.
Good morning, board members, Mayor Rollins. My name is George Runhill, 334 Center Street, Dallas, Texas, 75208. I thank you for this opportunity to speak to you this morning. I'm here to speak in opposition of the Education Finance Corporation. There are too many questions that are not yet been answered, and it appears that there's a rush to pass this through with little or no input from the stakeholders. In the meeting Monday, representatives from Uplift stated that they had not been in talks with DISD concerning the creation of Education Finance Corporation or the expansion of charter schools throughout the Dallas region. Uplift and City of Dallas should consult with the Dallas ISD before making educational decisions of this magnitude. There appears to be no accountability in this process. The leadership of Uplift Education does not answer to any public authority. Citizens have no method to provide input or seek redress of grievances with Uplift other than appealing to the Texas Education Agency in Austin. In a meeting Monday, Uplift stated that they are not seeking a conduit through the state because of the red tape. What is expected of a parent if there is a problem? Are they to come here and address their grievance because the red tape at the state level is too much? Another concern is that the proposed board of the EFC will be appointed, not elected. The citizens of Dallas and surrounding communities deserve educational entities that are directly answerable to public officials. This proposal denies that voice. To my knowledge, the City of Dallas has not been previously involved in education financing, especially during a time when the state of Texas has drastically cut financing for public schools in the City of Dallas. The City of Dallas should consider funding and strengthening the Dallas ISD schools instead of charter school operators. Take the necessary time to evaluate the decision. The City of Dallas is not, and I repeat, it is not under any pressure to meet a deadline. Please take the time to consider this decision. It's an important one, and it affects the children of Dallas. Thank you for your time.
Your next speaker is Chris Williams, followed by DeMarcus Offord.
morning, City Council. Good morning, Mayor. My name is Christopher Williams. I reside at 2815 Burger Street, and that's Dallas, Texas. And I was here on behalf of Hip Hop Government, and just we're going over the issues in the community about DISD. And our schools are closing down. These are schools that's been very much historical in our city. And at the same time, these are issues that people in the community need to be involved with. I was checking out a lot of research that was going on with this Uplift School and the people that's behind it. So we really need to know, is this a for-profit situation for certain entities? As I was going over some reviews, I was looking at Mr. Todd Williams, which is on the DISD budget chair. And I was also looking, he was a part of the, he's the vice chairman of Uplift. So I'm trying to just distinguish what's going on. Is this a for-profit situation for these schools, or is this just a deal that we're actually trying to push education? So my deal and our concern in our community is saying, why are we closing these schools, and who are they really for? Is it for profit for certain individuals, even though the Uplift school is going in? And then also I was looking at a part in the Uplift bond for $85 million that they're trying to get passed through the city council here, that they would also be building schools inside of Fort Worth, Texas, which is outside of our jurisdiction. So why would Dallas taxpayers be having funding coming from our city going to building schools in Fort Worth? So we just want to find out what the community has have to get the knowledge to see what's going on and find out what's really going on in our community and our schools, because our kids are suffering every day. Our kids are suffering every day, and these are the people that's being hurt, the children. So I just ask you guys to just push this off to be able to come back and let the community have more involvement and see what's really going on for our kids' education, and look at the entities behind these programs and this new wave of education that's going on through Uplift. I mean, as you know, $85 million bun, that's a big bun right there. And taxpayers are already going through a lot of issues here in the city of Dallas right now. So we just want to say we don't want to have the city going against the city of Dallas, going against DISD. We should be able to work together. The city of Dallas should be working with DISD School Independent District. So I just like to say we thank y'all and we support y'all. And just let's look at who's really behind the issues and closing these schools down, and who's behind the issues against schools Uplift put into the system to where old schools just got closed down. So that's all I have to say, and I hope y'all push this off and give the community a better input, a chance to have their input on these topics.
Good morning. Former Mayor Caraway, my council member, Ms. Davis, Mayor Mike Rawlins. My name is DeMarc Stauffer, and I reside at 2815 Burger Street, Dallas, Texas, 75215. The reason I'm here before you today, I value education because it allows me to learn from students from all backgrounds, and public schools accepts all students. I would ask that you reconsider on voting on this today. I'm sure many of you all on the council are graduates of the public school system. Voting on this would take away from our great public schools we have in Dallas. And why would you fund schools for them when Dallas has built new schools with bond funds and closing schools due to low attendance and lack of funds? The city's support for charter schools shows negative support for its own schools held in high regards for all children. Or do they have an interviewing process where they are not allowed to pick and choose their students? That leaves the public schools cleaning up the lack of commitment and support for all children noted in charter schools. Public schools are needing your support. They can't pick and choose who they educate. The Dallas ISD community needs support for the city of Dallas. We are not in favor of this item. And mainly, there are many questions and answers that should be asked about this item. I ask that before you approve it, that you get us some thought. And the community does not want this. I think that the city should, as Mayor Rawlins said, he's a big supporter of public education. I think the city of Dallas doesn't want this. If anything, we should be working with the Dallas ISD Independent School District to help them strengthen their school system. And this is not something that I'm in support of. And it's ridiculous that we had to come to this stage to have them approve an $85 million bond to help build schools. And if anything, we need to try to focus on what ways we can come to get kids back in our community to come back to our schools to help build our enrollment. And I thank you for allowing me to speak today, and I hope that you vote no for this bond, for Uplift.
Thank you.
What's your final speaker on the item, Mr. Mayor?
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion on this. Ms. Morgolin? And then we'll have discussion.
I would like to move to approve addendum item number 2 with the following changes: that throughout all documents, the name of the nonprofit be changed to the North Texas Education Finance Corporation from the City of Dallas Education Finance Corporation. Number 2, to amend the resolution to include the following: the city's expenses related to administrative, legal, and financial fees shall be reimbursed by Uplift Education. And number 3, to amend Exhibit A to include the following: the corporation may not issue bonds, notes, or other obligations without receiving the prior approval of the Dallas City Council.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin. Do we have a second? We have a second, a motion and a second. Discussion. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am extremely skeptical of this concept. If we have the vote today, I am going to vote no. However, I am open to listening so that I and other members of my district who have contacted me can hear further information. I do not believe that this council as a whole has sufficient information at this time to move forward on this item. However, allow me to reiterate, if we must vote today, I am voting no. I want to offer a substitute motion, and that substitute motion is that this item be deferred for not less than 45 days, that the full council be briefed on this item, and that the item then be placed on a subsequent agenda.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for the substitute motion. Let's have further discussion, then we'll vote on the substitute motion. Okay. When we do that, that's good. Ms. Hasso.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I did read the information that was put out yesterday, I believe, on the questions that were raised at the committee on Monday. And I understand this sort of foundation has come up before through the City of Dallas with Jesuit and some other of the private schools. I would like to speak about the other charter schools that are here in Dallas. Many of you know I've been the chairman of the Board of Trustees for Texans Can Academies for 4 years. That school was in the red when I started as the board chair, as a board member. 4 years later, it is in the black. There is money in the bank. That's because a lot of people worked on getting funding for that school, not through the city, through private donations, through certainly the state. And I just want to point out again that charter schools aren't just for the privileged and the private. And yes, you will be pulling students out of DISD to go to this charter school. So DISD is going to have a lacking of people or students who could have graduated in the higher echelons and gone on to college. Now they're going to be put in Uplift. Texas CAN focuses on all of those children who are at risk, who haven't graduated, who can't graduate from a DISD school because they're of a home situation or they got pregnant or there are drugs involved. So, you know, there are charter schools out there doing great things with those at-risk students. So I would just like to ask, and I'm gonna vote with Ms. Hill and Ms. Davis, and ask that we understand what all the charter schools in this city do, not just one group. And is there a way to help other charter schools, especially those like Texans CAN, who focus on the dropouts, the folks who are left behind? We graduate students every January and every June. And I can tell you they graduate with a high school degree. So, you know, my concern is that we're focusing on one small area of charter schools, and we need to really look at all of them. So, once again, I understand the concept. I've read all the material. I just think we're not being inclusive. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hasso. Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much, Mayor. I have a huge concern with this. I went to the Economic Development Committee meeting, Mayor, on the other day. And one of the questions I asked the chair, what is the rush? I do believe that we need to pull this for a full briefing. Now, I have a couple of questions that I would like to ask. And so, Carl, you can come forward, or Ryan. Number one, I want to know, has this been done in any other local public schools or charter schools? This type of financing that we're asking to do, has it been done in any other schools or charter schools?
Ms. Davis, we have done it through other EFCs for other schools in Dallas.
Who are those schools?
Jesuit is one, Lamplighter, and I believe there's one other. As well as years ago, we set up a separate corporation for Dallas Baptist to do something very similar.
Okay, and what was that years ago that we did to do something very similar?
Oh, that was probably 20 or 30 years ago.
Okay, so that's been 20 or 30 years ago. Now, the other thing that I have, Todd Williams. Is Todd Williams in the house today? Is he here? Who is Mr. Todd Williams with Uplift? Who is Todd Williams with Uplift?
Ma'am, do you want to talk to somebody from Uplift?
Yes.
Okay, do we have an up? Please. Please introduce yourself.
Yes, thank you. Of course. Good morning. My name is Yasmin Bhatia, and I am the CEO of Uplift Education.
Who is Todd Williams with Uplift?
Todd Williams is the vice chair of the Uplift board.
Is he the founder of Uplift?
No, Rosemary Perlmutter is the founder of Uplift.
Okay.
She founded Uplift 17 years ago.
Okay, so we got that straight. Does he serve on your board of your board of directors now?
Yes.
Okay. Now, is Mr. Williams, is he, and I guess since he served on your board of directors, he is the chair of the bond committee at DISD?
I do not know of Mr. Williams' role of that for DISD.
Okay. No. Okay. Okay.
No, he's not on that.
He's what? Juanita, can you come up, please, Ms. Wallace? Who knows what he is?
He is the chair of the DISD Budget Commission.
Oh, okay. So is that not true? Is he the chair?
He is the chair of the DISD Budget Commission.
And he sits on your board of Uplift.
And he sits on the board of Uplift Education.
See, I think this is a major, major conflict of interest. A major, major conflict of interest. Ma'am, you can be seated. Thank you so much. I think it's a major, major conflict of interest, Mayor Ryland. You know I support you 86% of the time.
You calculated this?
But this is one that I will not be supporting you on, sir. And the reason I would not be supporting you on this, because of the conflict of interest. This is a major conflict of interest. Todd sits on, he's the chair, plus he sat on the board of Uplift. And then not only that, I'm a huge supporter of public schools. I think that public schools, I'm a product of public schools. I think that we must support public schools. I will have to support my colleagues today. I will be voting no on this item. I think that we are not giving our public schools the role that it needs and the support that it needs. My daughter went to Dallas Can because she could not do well in DISD. But now if she had to do it all over again, she said, Mom, I would have listened to my teachers and stayed in DISD. It is my fault. She recognized that now. At 20 years of age, I support public schools, and I think this is not what we need to do. We're giving all of this attention to one charter school. And, Mayor, I'm asking you, why this particular charter school? When you ran, you said you support public schools. You made that your number one agenda. And the community in which I live, 1,800 people came out and supported you because they told me this mayor is going to help fix public schools. And they believe you on that. And they still support you on that. So if you can just pull and just take it off the agenda so we can talk more about it. I asked on the other day, Carzy, please, Orion, I asked what was the boundary because you guys had some circles going on the map. I did not get a copy of that, Ryan, and I'm not going off on you. I like Ryan Evans.
86% of the time.
I didn't get the boundary from the circles. So how far is the boundary going to go?
Ms. Davis, they can actually go through the entire dimensions of DISD.
That's right. Okay. I got a problem with that. It can go to all 14 council districts. They can start from Angela's district all the way down to Mr. Allen's district. Now, I have, out of the 11 schools that's been closed, colleagues, 5 are in my district. 5 are in my district. Now, of the 5, now this is only what I'm hearing on the streets, Mayor. I ain't no one has come and told me this. You know, people on the streets know more about what's going on sometimes than what you know, and I know. They're telling me of the 5 schools that's been closed, Uplift can open those schools. Now, if we have a problem with not enough kids in the schools, and that's why we're closing the schools, then why will we give charter schools the opportunity to open the schools if we don't have the students there? It doesn't make any sense. Now, I have this quality school construction bond. What is a quality school construction bond?
The state has a special allocation of these particular bonds. This charter school has been awarded these allocations. They are very, very low interest rate tax-exempt bonds, even lower than normal tax-exempt bonds. They have to be spent within the jurisdiction that the EFC is established in, which basically means they have to be spent in Dallas, which is why we're here today, to establish this special corporation in Dallas so that these bonds can be spent in the city.
Well, Kip is on the list, and Kip is here in Dallas. Kip got about $8 million. There's about 4 more of these schools that's in Dallas. Looking at this, now this is what I have. This is black and white. Of the 4 schools, we have about 4 or 5 schools that's in Dallas that have been awarded. One of the schools here in Dallas received over $9 million. Now, I don't see Uplift on the list. Now, of the 5 schools that's here, and Kip is on here several times, you got Peak. We got a number of schools that's in Dallas who receive money from the QSCB. It can be used for financing school construction, land acquisition, and renovation. I'm saying that there is a fund out there to help schools or charter schools like Uplift. Samir, I would not be supporting you on this one. 86% of the time I do, but this one I will not today. And the other thing, if you, as the mayor, would like to take it to briefing so we can talk more about this, I will support you on that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Davis, I share a number of your concerns. I don't pretend to be an expert on the controversy surrounding charter schools versus public schools. I don't know enough. And frankly, I have never felt that I was elected to be an expert on our education system. And having gotten this information on Friday afternoon. I found it very challenging to get through this complicated set of issues in just a handful of days. And so I appreciate Ms. Hill's proposal that this be deferred so that we can have a more in-depth conversation. We can understand some of the complexities associated with this. But I will say, I don't know that even with a 45-day extension, I and my colleagues can become experts on this controversy. And that's what concerns me about this, because I feel like we're being asked to wade into a controversy and take a side. Do we support our public schools or our charter schools? And again, I don't know. I hear very good things like what Ms. Hasso said about charter schools. But I also hear concerns that such schools may pull funding from our public schools and may pull some of the best students from our public schools. And so it can be a real challenge. So I don't know where I fall on the issue. But for that reason, I don't feel like it's necessarily appropriate for the city to wade into this, because although we're simply establishing a vehicle, let's be very clear about it. We're establishing a vehicle for charter schools to obtain bond funding, to obtain conduit bonds. And to me, that is tacitly endorsing and taking a side with charter schools, and I just can't do that right now. One of the things that did concern me, that the Los Angeles Times did an article that cited a survey that had been done by a Florida research organization. 20% of municipal bonds are now these types of conduit bonds. 70% of the bonds that default are conduit bonds. So while they make up a small section of the municipal bond market, they make up 70% of all municipal bonds that fail. That concerns me as well, because I'm not clear on how that affects the overall municipal bond market and thus the market that the city of Dallas has to wade into to obtain credit. So I'm concerned about this as well. I understand that from talking with you, Carl, that Uplift had some type of deadline that they were approaching, and they felt that it was imperative that they get this approval quickly from the city. But I can tell you, and that concerns me for two reasons. One, I don't like seeing things put on the consent agenda that clearly need some public discussion, that absolutely, obviously need public discussion and need time to vet out. And, you know, learning about this on Friday and then having a Monday meeting that, again, we learned about the Monday meeting in economic development on Friday, that's just not enough time. And the second reason that concerns me is that, to me, it says something about Uplift if they are waiting until the last minute, or if they don't have a plan in mind months and months ahead of time of how they want to get funding or move forward. I question the leadership there or the decision-making process there for putting the city in such an untenable position for having to move forward so quickly. And lastly, really, it goes to Ms. Davis's point about the closure of schools. I, too, have several schools in District 14 that would be closing. Bonham's just one of them. And there's just been an outpouring of support from the parents there. It's an exemplary school. And I know that those parents are so frustrated and so concerned. So, again, I just don't know enough, and I'm not clear on why we would be moving forward in endorsing this charter school concept when we have DISD schools shuttering their doors. And I don't understand, do charter schools take funding? Are the kids who are pulled out of public schools, out of DISD, if DISD doesn't have a certain population, certain number of students? I think that's how they get some of their federal funding, if I'm not mistaken, is there the number of students they have. Well, if those students are being plucked out and put into these alternative schools, is DISD losing further funding? And that's not something I expect you guys to answer today. That's just one of a myriad of questions that I have that makes me feel like this is rushed, that this isn't the right direction for us, and I absolutely support the City of Dallas working in partnership with DISD. We have to be a great partner, and we have to support our public education system. I just don't know that this is the right way to do it. So I'm going to be supporting Ms. Hill's motion today. Ms. Hill, again, thank you for bringing that forward. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. This came to economic development on Monday, and I think we have a whole lot of discussion. And Ryan, we asked you and Cosby and Gene Chipperfield, our bond counsel, to go back and make sure we have all the Q&As teed up today. And I believe some of those questions and answers was not here. The short version of it, Maryland Economic Development, this supposed came to finance an audit, but Jerry committee is going to meet on Thursday, so it came to Economic Development. And my statement there is probably still today that I feel like we were not going to be ready today, because most of my colleagues said they have not been briefed, and we feel like the community need to be more involved, the business community need to get more involved, have uplift, spoke to everybody, vice versa, and we said that we might have to defer this. And we spoke to uplift, and could someone from uplift come down, please? And the question was that, by timing, everything is by timing. You know, if you do something, it's a time. And when I asked someone for uplift, what is the timing? What is the drop dead date? What is that date is?
Yes, sir. So we are planning on going to the bond market on March 20th. That will allow us to do the renovation and construction work to open schools in time for next year. And if allowed, I'd be happy to speak to the broader timing related to our bond.
So March 20th is show time that you go to the bonding committee. And is that date is the date that you turn everything in, or do you got to turn it in before then?
That is the day that our bonds will sell.
Will sell?
Yes.
So what is the timing that you have everything have to be ready to prepare?
So all of our marketing documents for investors who regularly buy our bonds will be available by end of February.
By end of February. You know, colleagues, you know, there have been some great questions. I spoke to Carolyn. Thank you, Carolyn, for coming to the Economic Development and Committee. I guess, Ryan, back to staff, Ryan. You know, I'm for education. Education, is number one on my agenda. You know, I am for public school, private school, charter school, the whole works. 4 or 5 years ago, when Wilmot School District closed down, there was not that many schools in District 8. In 2012, we probably have a new high school, two new high schools, two new elementary school, a middle school, and three charter schools also. And I believe Uplift is in my district also. So there's a whole lot of education in District 8. I don't believe that we cannot change DISD, but the city of Dallas got to be a good partner with DISD to help, because it's about education. What do we do from here as council member, and what do we do from the citizen to make sure that we have the best education in the city of Dallas? And how do we make that work? I think, colleagues, that it's a whole lot of homework that been given to us today and Monday. I don't believe everyone have time to do all their due diligence on the homework. We have done this before. We did it for Jesuit High School in 2011. We did it for Lamplight. We did it for Hockaday. We did it for St. Mark. But also, it's a possibility that I'm kind of worried about it. We all can possibly do it for Paul Flynn College. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, this would work for all charters, private schools, as well as Paul Quinn, SMU, and UD.
So there is a tool in the toolbox can be used to help our education. I'm a firm believer to don't throw all the tools out of the toolbox. At least keep one tool in the toolbox just in case you might have to need it.
And I don't know if we're going to use it today, but in the future we might need that too. Because I'm looking at a school in my district, Paul Quinn College, might be here next week and said, hey, I need some help. And I want to say yes to Paul Quinn College. So, Von Seal, you made a motion for 45 days.
Not less than
45 days. I guess, Ryan, colleagues, that if we don't do this within, what, February the 28th or March, I mean, what is the date?
Using the dates that they have given us, it would be an absolute, they would need to do it either next week or the week after that.
Week after next. So whatever we do, we can wait 2 weeks?
They said 2 weeks was really pushing it. They'd be more comfortable with one, but that's really a question for Uplift.
Well, I believe that we're a compromise. You know, sometimes we don't compromise, but let's, Von Seal, if you change your deal and said, if we get briefed within 2 weeks, we can make a vote. I mean, today, I think it's a bad today to vote today. I mean, at least go back to the community and go back and talk. And at least you had a chance to compromise. So would you amend your motion for 2 weeks?
Her motion fits that within that. She said not less.
Not less than.
My bad. You're right.
My speaker's not on.
Now it is on. My motion, Mr. Atkins, Mr. Mayor, is for not less than. I do not believe that 2 weeks is sufficient.
That's right.
I agree with Ms. Hunt that bringing this matter to the council with this very short time fuse raises serious questions in my mind about the planning and leadership of the organization. I'm not making a decision on the merits, but that also raises concern in my mind. So, Mr. Atkins, I'm not willing to amend the motion for a week.
Okay. I guess, Ryan, that if we do have a motion to go to 45 days, I mean, not less than 45 days. So therefore, whatever we do, Uplift is off the table because they cannot make their deadline. Is that a fair statement?
That would be my understanding, yes.
Okay. This one, make that point clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank each and every one of you for being here today. You finna hear me. Let me first say to Robert Jones, I'd like to get a copy of that information that you shared of the DISD hearing dates. If I could, my office would like to get a copy of that. And also would like to acknowledge Chris. Chris, thank you for your continued involvement with hip hop all the things that you've been doing with me since I've been an elected official. We went to Dr. Field together and on the effort to pull up your pants. So I want folks to know who was with me, and I appreciate your continued commitment. I'm hearing a lot in this debate. We have talked about and we've gone through the closing of 11 schools. Ms. Davis, you made some very good points. I want to say that to you and Ms. Hill. I appreciate your position and the points that you've made. I'm a true supporter of education, and everyone knows that as relate to kids. I'm a proud graduate of Franklin D. Roosevelt. I am a DISD product that's sitting here around this horseshoe. I do support the DISD wholeheartedly. I disagreed with the fact that we did not rush but they rush to close the 11 schools without going through the process of trying to figure out a way to save those schools, one being on Bear Street, H.S. Thompson. The fact that we have a redevelopment program and project that's going there. The neighborhood is going through a transformation at this time. Ms. Davis, you have the Bear Street Initiative that is currently in action, and we have the Turner Courts that are going to be coming back. So the fact that the kids are not there today are not the concern of them, because now those kids are coming back tomorrow. Those Turner Court apartments and those kids are going to be back in that community. So it's very important that we hold on to the schools that are already in the community. I disagree with the fact of building all of the new schools, and they're still building new schools while we still have old schools, that they could have taken that money, in my opinion, and renovated the schools that currently sit in the neighborhood where the community is coming back to. Now, so that begs to say that, number one, I was dealing with the fact, as we all deal with, that it's time to pay taxes. And the biggest portion of the tax that I pay is to DISD. And if indeed I'm going to have the burden and the responsibility of paying taxes to DISD, I too want DISD to be a thriving force. It has been clearly said that the problem and the reason that the suburbs are growing are because of our educational system, our school system. Let's just put the cards on the table the way that they are. Folks want to move to Frisco because they don't want their kids to go to DISD. They want to go to DeSoto because they don't want their kids to go to DISD. They want to go all of these other places because they don't want their kids to go to DISD. Well, if that is the case, then we're missing the point if we don't wrap our arms around DISD and figure out how we're going to get DISD off the bottom of the list, so that when corporate people want to come, then they will locate and want to locate here in DISD. I say that because, one, last week, and just last week, we're the same council that sit here, and we disapproved, well, we did not approve the charter school that was applied for an opportunity over on, was it across the street from Kimball High School, Ms. Griggs? Yes. And it was a charter school as well, so we kind of sent them packing because of the impact that it would have on traffic, and right, with Kimball and T.W. Brown around the corner, that was the basis that we told that school, and which was a charter school seeking to come and all about education, and we sent them right out this chamber without their opportunity. I do support education. I support Uplift. I support KIPP. KIPP is in my district. It's my number one school in my district, KIPP. I want to make sure folks understand that I do support KIPP. But now, with this situation, Mayor, I think I support you 92.25.7% of the time. But I do want to say I do believe that we're rushing. And I do believe that we need to have community involvement with this. This is a hot potato. I want to say to Uplift that where we may find ourselves supporting Uplift, the pickle that it puts us in, we're responsible to the citizens, mm-hmm, and to the people that elected us, and we're to be very prudent with our decisions that we make. And this, at this particular point, even though you're up against a deadline, it's a rush. We all may at some point come back and say, hey, this is a great thing. But there are still unanswered questions that we have. For example, I did not attend the economic development meeting on Monday, and this is the first time that I've just really been involved with even discussing it in depth.
and I have 85,000 people that pay taxes that I'm responsible to, that I need to make sure that they feel good and they're included upon the decisions that impact them through me. So I'm going, and it may sound like a rumble, but I know where I am. We're rushing is what I'm saying. And we need to just kind of take a look at it. It may put you off a year, because if when the vote goes, and Ms. Hill, if it's 45 days, that means that they can't meet their February 28th deadline, and that virtually means that this deal and process will have to start over. That could be very unfortunate in one sense of the word, but education is not something we need to rush at this point, and not in Dallas. Education is something that we need to make sure we study, that we need to make sure we've dot our I's, cross our T's, and are making all of the right moves on behalf of the children that we represent and that we want to educate. It's a situation that it's going to take at least me a little time to understand it and to get my arms wrapped around it and to hear more of the community input, and then to study the impact that it's going to have on DISD. Now, let me be real clear. I started off by saying I went to Roosevelt. I'm a product of DISD. So DISD is my homeboy, and so I'm going to protect the homeboy, but at the same token, I want to make sure that we have, and the homegirl, okay, I want to make sure that we are making the right moves and doing the right thing, because overall it's about education. And it's about educating kids and giving them the very best opportunity. But then I feel kind of hypocritical, because we sent that charter school out of here 2 weeks ago, this same council. And we told them it impacted DISD, Kimball High School to be the fact, and we sent them out of here. Because of the impact that it would have on DISD. And now we're looking at this situation, and then I think it's not fair to the school that we sent out if we turn back around and then say, okay, it's okay for this one, but it wasn't okay for you. I think that puts us in a bad situation. But not just for that reason, more important than I'm going to close, because I think, Mayor, just need a little bit more time to kind of just study it a little bit. If it were quicker, then, I mean, I could be fine with that. But at the same token, I think questions need to be placed on the table. Communication needs to take place. Then we go from there.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Mr. Cadane, I'll come back to you, Ms. Davis. But, Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Is there any way to get this on the briefing for next week?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, we might make some decisions next week that would help us to vote on the following agenda, maybe.
That's a
possibility. And would get us within their time frame, because, you know.
Do you want to make that motion?
Can we make a motion?
Well, we'll have to vote on Ms. Hill's motion, okay, and then first, and then we'd come back to your substitute motion.
Yeah, that'd be
excuse
great.
Me. I'm sorry, Ms. Morgone. I'm sorry. Yeah, we have to come to yours. We have to do the substitutes first, unless it's a friendly amendment.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, ever since I've been on the council, I've been working somehow to work with DISD, and I'm totally behind DISD. And what we're doing here, I can see could help DISD. If this helps us graduate more children, and I don't know enough about it either, but if we can find out that these charter schools help to increase our graduation percentage, we need to do it, because we've got to raise that up. That brings more people to our communities, and that helps our whole school system. So I'm looking forward to the briefing. And I do think we need a briefing to find out more about it. From what I've read, and I just got, the amendment back this morning, so it's tough to go over it, but this is no tax to our city at all. It costs us nothing.
That's right, Mr. Cadane. These bonds are not supported by the taxpayers of Dallas. They're tax-exempt bonds that will be repaid through the school itself.
And have we talked with DISD at all about this? Do we have any backing there, or
Mr. Kadane, I'm not aware of any conversations with the EISD. Okay. That question was asked on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Again, that would be a question for Upland.
Okay.
But Mr. Kadane, I made a mistake. You can make a motion to defer it for 2 weeks, and if you have a second, we take your item up first before Ms. Hill's item. So if you want to make that motion, I'll entertain it.
Well, I'll be happy to make that motion to defer this for 2 weeks if we have the briefing next week and the voting the following week.
Thank you. We have Ms. Coop second, so we now have a new motion on the floor. Ms. Coop.
Oh, thank you, Mayor. Yeah, I see this as complimenting DISD if we can understand the issue. I agree with you. As a matter of fact, I want Ryan to answer a few questions for me. What's the difference between this financial mechanism and the one that is the Red River Financial Corporation that we used in the previous cases?
I'm not sure. I'll ask Mr. Lachelle to come up. They're both the same type of corporation. One of them we referred the bond issuance to. One of them we're creating. Mr. Lachelle.
For the record, Jeff Lachelle, McCall Parkhurst and Borden, Bond Council of the City. There is no difference between the structure of the Red River financings and the corporate structure of this transaction. They're identical. They're created under the same statute, and they have the same powers and limitations, both Red River and this proposed corporation.
Do you know why the state legislature then went back, and actually Councilmember Atkins and I had a discussion with a couple of the legislators the other day, but do you know why the state legislature went back and amended or changed the legislation to create then, and I think we're calling it Educational Financial Fund or ESFB.
I do not know. I do not.
Okay. I think that is a question fundamentally that we need to know. Why was it that they changed that? Now, they had given us the answer the other day, and it was just real quick because we were at another meeting, but the reasons they gave to me were very interesting. And I think if we understand those a little bit better, maybe we'll be able to make a more informed decision. Why is the city the conduit for the bonds instead of another governmental agency like a county?
Well, in this instance, there's a nexus requirement between who issues the bonds that are the qualified school construction bonds and the location of the project. The allocation was given to Uplift for Dallas, is what I understand it. And that is why they have requested this corporation be created by the City of Dallas in order to satisfy one of the federal tax law requirements.
But it could be geographically a county or another governmental entity like a community college or not.
I don't believe it can be a community college. I don't know if it could be a county, but it
would be interesting to know.
We can certainly get.
Perhaps we can get that information. If this is passed,
I'm sorry. One of my partners who is in the audience just informed that the county cannot be the entity that creates the corporation through which these bonds can be issued.
If we could just get that at some point, that would be helpful.
We'll follow up with that.
If this entity is passed, a private school, or any other charter school such as KIPP or Khan Academy, are they allowed then to use the low-interest tax bonds? And this is what we're talking about today. We're having a philosophical discussion, and I think it's a good one, on public education versus perhaps charter schools and private education. But there's also a discussion really to be had just focusing on the issue, and the issue is these low-interest bonds.
Yes,
so I'm trying to get to who is eligible for a low-interest bond?
All those entities that you just listed would be able to have bonds issued for their projects, and they would qualify as tax-exempt obligations. For the qualified school construction bonds, there's an application and allocation process that has to be administered through the Texas Education Agency. So those, at least on the secondary school level, they would have to go through the process of seeking the qualification. I don't believe the private schools like Hockaday and Jesuit would qualify. But the charter schools, since they're treated as public schools under state law, would qualify for the QSCAP.
Okay,
to qualify.
I need to know more about that because I'm not exactly sure I understood exactly what you said, but I do want to know more about it.
Sure.
We want to understand that issue. Because if the bonds are only to be used, obviously, for capital improvements, is that correct?
Correct.
According to the folks that we talked to the other day from the legislature, I want, and this is for you, Ryan, I want to understand how they allocate money then towards certain amount of money that are used in charter schools goes towards, comes from the state into those charter schools, and what percentage of that occurs, how can they use those monies, and then is it taken out of another public entity? And I don't expect you to answer the question, but it is interesting what the state legislature, their legislation, and I think if we understand what their legislation was originally intended for, I think that would help us to understand the funding mechanisms, whether it be capital or whether it be operation and maintenance that comes through in that way.
Yes, and my name is Bill Mays. I'm the CFO for Uplift Education. So our allocation of funds from the state is actually based on average daily attendance, and then we can use those funds to pay off our debt service and pay for our teachers and those kinds of activities.
But you don't receive the entire allocation of funds that are, say, for example, in our tax rate, in our property tax rate. There's property taxes and there's state funds.
We're not a taxing authority, so we don't get facilities related.
Let me go back just one second to Ryan and these guys. There are property taxes that go to education. There are transportation gas taxes that go to education and other elements, too. So not to become an expert on it, but what type of funding the state gives to Uplift and the amount of funding, is it the same that the state would give to DISD per student? That's kind of what I'm getting to. And we don't need to answer that question today, but I think that's an important question to ask. And then if the finance corporation is formed, is there a mechanism for us then to deny a school based on performance? So if a school came in, and this one happens to be very good, and I'm sure everybody's Googled it and they have an excellent reputation and so on and so forth. If a school comes in, is there ability for the council to deny that school based on their performance? And there's a ranking that the state does, I think, of these charter schools.
I mean, that would be a discussion that council may wish to have. I will say, though, by giving the council the authority to actually approve the issuances, you would be able to review the strength, the financial strength of the institutions as to what investment grade their bonds would be. That's from the financial point of view. The other question would be something we would need to discuss.
If council does, no matter when they review it, 45 days or next week, if we can get what other areas of the state have done, if indeed they do not want to support a particular charter school because of past performance. Mayor, I would like it to come sooner rather than later. I don't know that we can flesh out all the answers in a week, but at least give us the opportunity to be able to do that, colleagues. I know it's a highly emotional issue. I appreciate everybody's opinion on it. There are lots of folks that are DISD graduates, and I share that as well. And what we really want is what's good for kids in the city. So I think it's been a very thoughtful day. I think there's lots to be learned. I'd like to look at it next week if the council chooses to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Coop. Mr. Allen.
Is the make sure I understand, this is a bond issue, a bond question, make sure I understand. Is the City of Dallas really just the conduit for these bonds, and there's no financial exposure to the citizens?
The City of Dallas isn't even a conduit. No, you're creating a conduit. There is no liability exposure, financial requirements, or anything from the City of Dallas.
Okay. I was prepared to vote no today, basically the way it was teed up. I agree with Councilwoman Hunt. An issue like this needs to be teed up a whole lot better. So it needs to be teed up a whole lot better than this. It's pathetic the way it was teed up. The other side of that coin is that the applicant, I guess, would need their day in court. If we're not going to give them 2 weeks, then we might as well just straight up vote no and be done with it, not waste staff's time.
and of going through the exercise. So I think that hope, I think that the council members can study this situation and make their minds up within a 2-week period of time. So I would be going along with Councilman Cadane along that line.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Margolin.
Thank you. First, I need to say that I think that charter schools are a healthy addition to the mix of schools in the city, and that the more successful schools that we have, the more attractive the city will be to people who are considering moving here or staying. I think it will keep people. I understand that this is emotional, and that I'm convinced that we need more time to look at it. And so I would be willing to accept Mr. Cadane's substitute motion as a friendly amendment to my motion. And I don't know who seconded my motion. But
Ms. Coop did.
So would you accept that? Okay.
No, you can do that. No, but she's deferring to Mr. Cadane's motion.
I can't do that?
Okay. Oh, I got you. So you don't need to accept it at this time.
Okay.
You don't need to accept that.
All right.
We'll take that motion.
All right.
Got it.
I understand. Thank you. Got it.
Thank you. Please. Miss Davis. Oh, excuse me. Is everybody else? Yeah, you spoke. Mrs. Davis.
Thank you so much. First of all, I know that we continue to talk about charter schools will bring a great, diverse mix to our neighborhood. Half the people in charter schools are African Americans and Latinos at most of these charter schools. Now, if we're taking people out of the public schools for whatever reason and putting them into the charter school system, then we lose kids in the public schools. Now, if the public schools, Mr. Allen, is lacking, then DISD is losing money on the heads that's in the public schools. They are going to get paid for every child that's in that public in Uplift. That's how they get their money. Uplift knows this. You get paid for every child that goes to your school. Now, we're comparing apples with apples. Now, for whatever reason, when I asked about the boundaries, this is a very large, huge piece of pie. It can go, and Mary, I understand you're tired of us talking about this, but this is very important to me. This is a huge piece of pie. And Ron said it. The boundary is going to hit all 14 districts all over the city, Mayor. So once we give them this approval, they can build anywhere without even going to the community for approval. This is wrong, y'all. This is wrong. Sheffy, this is wrong. For 2 weeks, and I understand. You want 2 weeks to give them enough time, but Dallas can. It's different. They can't go and get this type of finance. Now, the community have to have an input in this. They have to have an input. I don't want, you know, Charles Rice is an exemplary school in my neighborhood. But if an Uplift builds next door to them, Uplift is going to take kids out of Charles Rice. And I know you continue to say no tax, that we're not being held responsible. Yes, we are, Ron. You know who's going to be held responsible? The kids. That's who's going to be held responsible for this. Uplift is not going to come in a neighborhood if it cannot have kids. Where will you get the kids from?
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
I'm not finished.
Okay.
I've got one more.
Please, let's just, if we can just, one minute of peace here.
Mr. Mayor, I support you 86% of the time. This is one of them.
Well, just support me on the time thing.
Okay. So at this point, we are trying to beat the time. And the time that we're trying to beat is to give them some money to renovate school construction and land acquisition. Now, we have the president of the Alliance of AFT. She's here for a reason. This is so sensitive. To close 11 schools, principals are going to lose their jobs, teachers are going to lose their jobs, and then we're here today to say that we're going to do an education finance to help one school? This just does not make any sense.
Thank you. Thank you. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ryan, maybe you can answer this. This is really about administrative issues that might arise. Will the city be administering this EFC? Will we have staff there? How will city staff be involved in this EFC?
Ms. Hunt, this would be a standalone corporation established by yourselves. There would not be staff administration associated with it.
So there will not be any staff members attending these meetings?
They are open meetings, and so staff could go, but it's not staffed by city staff.
Also, the gentleman who spoke before, bond council, will city bond council, correct?
Yes.
Will you be working with the EFC on the conduit bonds?
We could, yes. And my partner, Joe Eckert, who's here, has been working with Uplift on various matters related to this project.
Can you get to the microphone, please?
Well, the answer is my partner, Joe Eckert, who is here in the audience, has been working with Uplift and advising on this process. So the answer would be yes, we could.
Okay. And do you guys receive fees for those services to Uplift?
Usually we get paid upon the delivery of the bonds. We would not be paid if there are no bonds delivered.
So if they're selling bonds, you're getting paid?
If they're selling bonds, we'd be paid. Just like we have our relationship with the city, both all of our bonds.
Oh, we know we pay you.
Yeah.
We
and
know
you pay we us pay you. And you pay us the same way.
Yes. I am a little bit troubled by that, frankly, because I see that as a bit of a conflict of interest.
Absolutely.
Just because you're serving as our bond counsel to tell us the smartest things that we should do financially in relation to our credit rating, in relation to our credit rating and our bonding capacity. And so it troubles me a bit that there could be this conflict where you're also receiving funds by assisting in the sale of conduit bonds by an entity created by the City of Dallas that we're being asked to create today. So that's, Ryan, that's a statement. If you have something to follow up, I'll hear it, but those are my concerns.
Ms. Hunter, I understand your concerns. I mean, I just wanted to be clear that the bond council helps us with the legal documentation associated with our bonds. It is somewhat different than our financial advisors who tell us about our bonding capacity, what we have to be able to issue, and that sort of thing. And that's
Thank
the
you.
First Uplift.
Thanks, Ryan. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to address two points. One is language, because as a lawyer and an educator, I'm always very, very conscious of the language that we put in the public record. I have heard two of my colleagues refer to this as an emotional issue. Please understand, this is not an emotional issue for me. I am not acting on emotion. I am asking for an intellectual answer that is based on merit, not simply an emotional reaction. Secondly, on the timing, a number of you have suggested that next week is sufficient. I do not think so. The public will not have opportunity
within the next 2 weeks to be sufficiently informed to have input. This is an issue that I believe the public does need to have input on. I also believe there are very serious questions, including the conflict questions, that need in-depth answers, and I do not believe those can be had within the next 7 days. I want to reiterate what I said earlier. If this organization knew that it were facing a deadline, why did you wait until now to come and say, "Council, you have to act"? That is, to me, a statement on your management. I also don't understand why, if you cannot move forward now, you could not allow this council to have sufficient discussion and move forward next year. I don't get that. And therefore, I'm not convinced that the shorter time frame is something that you should be entitled to, although I repeat, several of my colleagues have come over and taken my arm and bent it behind my back. I'm not with you yet. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me just ask someone from Uplift to come back down one more time. I just want to ask one question. And thank you for being so kind and pulling my phone down.
Thank you.
Just want to ask you one thing. Let's say that this thing does not go in your favor today.
Mm-hmm.
What will happen from there? What would be you all's plan? Will you still be open?
Thank you for asking that question.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. So we will continue to move forward with our bonds on March 20th. We have done 4 bond issuances in the past 10 years, and we have a strong credit rating, and we have investors who purchase our bonds. So we will go forward, and we will sell our bonds, and we will move forward with our school expansions.
Okay.
The reason why we actually can't wait a year is because these QSCAB allotments will expire. And so that $15 million that allows us to take down debt service, which means we don't have to pay as much to bondholders, and instead we can direct those dollars to classrooms and to teacher pay raises, will then go away. That's why there's such urgency around this. We have known for the past 9 months that we were going to the bond market, but we thought we were going to go the traditional route that we've always gone. As we took an 8% funding cut from the state, as did all public schools, traditional and charter, and we take another 2% next year, we really tried to look to see where could we find additional cost savings. And one of the things that came up was some of these new bond vehicles, such as QSCABs, as part of the stimulus package. And so we quickly looked to see how might we take advantage of them to reduce the interest we pay on our buildings so we could put more towards teachers and more towards classrooms. When we learned from our bond council what would be required, we came immediately to city council. We understand and we appreciate that there is a time sensitivity around this, but this actually wasn't faulty planning on our part. We were simply trying to do what I can imagine most public schools are trying to do right now, which is how do we continue to put dollars towards classrooms and teachers as we continue to face funding cuts. And this was simply another avenue that we realized it was available for us to reduce the amount of interest payments we make and redirect those dollars to classrooms. So if the council votes no today, we will continue to move forward with our bonds as we always have, and we will take that $300,000 a year that we could have saved on interest, and we will pay it for interest instead of putting it into our classrooms. And that's why we are asking for your support today.
Okay. And thank you. Thank you very much. That's what I needed to hear.
Thank you.
With that says that regardless to what we do, that the charter school is coming. That's number one. Whether they have our support or do not have our support, the charter school is coming. So that resets the stage as far as I'm concerned, because one, now since the school is going to come and we are about education, I think we need to see how we can best
make this shoe fit to where it benefits the kids that are being educated here in our city overall. If indeed we have to have certain relationships and are going to have these relationships, whether we want the relationship or not, we need to figure out how this marriage can take place. I think at this particular point, we need to, I'm inclined, Mr. Cadane, the fact that you have said that it will come for a full council briefing, it will then come, Mayor, before the council, in which will give us an opportunity to continue this debate. In deference to Ms. Hill, in which I'm supportive of Ms. Hill, but now I'm also supportive of trying to hear this as quickly as possible. In talking with Mr. Griggs, and Mr. Griggs, I'm trying to put you on Front Street, he was saying that within 45 days or beyond, then this issue would have to be re-dealt with all over again. And I guess seeing that the school is going to come, regardless, now it behooves us to get everybody to the table to try to see how we can all become in one sync. So with that being said, then, Mr. Cadane, and I want to be briefed on every single thing, and I want you all to be more responsive to all of us, the council members, so that we can get our questions answered in a timely fashion, and I want the community to be also at the table and involved, because these are the kids of this city, and all kids of this city should have an opportunity to know where their directions are. But now I want to make sure that whatever we're doing, that we're not killing DISD. We must be in support of DISD. DISD, they need our help. They need our direction. There are kids that cannot go to certain schools but can go to DISD, and we need to make sure that Dallas Independent School District are being afforded the very best opportunity and all of our efforts that we can put forward. And so with that, I want to close and just say, Mr. Cadane, I'm going to give deference to you versus the 45 days. I want to see this thing come immediately. I want all I's dotted, T's crossed, everybody involved so we can hear it, get a full briefing. Then it comes back before the council. Then when it comes before the council, if we are not satisfied with it, those of us that may not be embracing this wholeheartedly, we still have the opportunity then to mash our button in that direction to whether or not it will still have our support or not.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Ms. Davis, 30 seconds.
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. Let me say this. When we are given an education finance money, and I know this is going to come back in 2 weeks, she just to build more classroom and to hire more teachers. I got a problem with this, and I still have a problem with this. When we're losing teachers, when we're losing classroom size, but yet we're helping to increase teachers, increase classroom size, when we've been told that there's no school, no kids in the district. It doesn't make any sense. So at this point, you know, I don't have a problem with the 2 weeks, but my mind is still going to be the same as it is now and 2 weeks from now. We must support public schools. Now, I'm going to continue.
Thank you,
let me say one more thing, man, and I'll be finished. The boundary is a concern for me. And Ryan, ask me something else. With the boundaries, so they can put a school in South Dallas. Am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, how does that affect my district if I don't want that school in South Dallas, that charter school? Do they come before the city council for zoning changes?
If they do not have the zoning, they would have to, just like the instance that you were talking about earlier.
Okay, say that the five schools that are closing in
Can we talk about this next week? We're gonna get all this stuff out.
Well, then we can make it a part of a briefing, because this whole thing has to be discussed. And I want to make sure that the community in which I serve come down and talk about this whole issue when it comes to charter schools, because it doesn't make any sense to lose schools than to try to gain some more schools. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hill, for being this passionate about this. Obviously, there's a lot of passion in this room, and I am passionate as well. I know closing schools is very painful. This is a tough time in this city, and if I sent my kid to a school and it was closed, I'd be upset too, and I think it's difficult. I do want to spend a moment to make sure we get on the record some things that have been said that I don't believe are true. We need to make sure, and if I'm wrong about this, please somebody help me. First of all, is Dallas Can a charter school? I believe it is. Is it right? Texas Can. Texas Can is a charter school.
I believe so.
So if Texas Can came and asked for this money, and excuse me, not this money, but this vehicle, could we do it for Texas Can?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because it's been said that Texas Can could not do it, and I want to make sure that Texas Can knows that they could do this as well. Okay? Any charter school, including Texas Can. Okay? Can Paul Quinn College come and do this?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Are we giving money to Uplift?
No, sir.
Okay, that was said. I want to, for the record, we are not giving any money to Uplift. Okay? Is there any financial risk for this city?
No, there is not.
So no financial risk in any way, shape, or form?
No.
Okay. Have we done this before?
Through other conduit institutions, yes, and through our own years ago.
Okay. Yasmin.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Can charter schools cherry pick students?
No. We have no ability by law to cherry pick students. Our students are selected by a blind lottery. All our students are able to submit to us are their name, their address, their contact information, and the grade that they will be entering. And then we literally pick student names like we're picking them out of a hat. The only preference that we can give are to siblings because of the fact we do not receive dollars for public transportation. And we can also give preference to zip code boundaries, which we always put close into our schools so we can serve the local community.
Thank you. How many schools do you have in the DISD catchment area?
Currently, we have 10 schools in the DISD area.
Okay. Thank you. And one last question. It's been said that Uplift will be making money in running up the charter schools. Are you for-profit?
Uplift is a non-profit institution.
So you don't make profit?
No, we do not make a profit.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to clarify those things that have been said, because there's a lot of good questions out there, and I think we all need to know it. Second of all, I don't like to come around this horseshoe with lots of questions being asked. That's not a good place to be in. So I'm upset that we are having to do this without a briefing. So I think that's good to make sure we do that. Now, just a couple of things. But this conversation is important. It's very important for the city of Dallas. I love DISD. Both of my kids went to DISD, and as you'll see next week, I'm going to take DISD on in a personal way as well. And we will not be a great city unless DISD becomes a great school district. The math can't work. The math can't work. These charter schools cannot make Dallas a great institution. These are around-the-edge organizations. We've got to support and build up and hold DISD accountable. The problem is, and the lady said, and I thought it was great, she said, if schools are not educating our kids, then that'd be another case. 12% of our students graduating from DISD schools are ready for college. It's only 12%. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a problem. And we have got to look for best practices to figure out how we and DISD lift ourselves up and make sure we can succeed. I think the key issue that we're all talking about here is charter schools. Are they good or are they bad? It's a good question. And I can understand different people's points of views on those things. I want to look at that more next week. But for me, I always go to kind of best practices and look at what there's learning out there. I've been spending a lot of time with mayors, some of the leading minority mayors in this country. In Mayor Villagrosa, Mayor Nuttall in Philadelphia, Mayor Booker in Newark, in some of the toughest areas. And every one of them says, you've got to have a portfolio approach to education in a school system. And charters play an important role in that. This is a fundamental belief that America is coming to, and we've got to come to terms with it ourselves. The irony in this whole discussion is so thick you can cut it with a knife. Because we are talking about freedom all the time. The freedom to marry if you happen to be gay. The freedom last week with the Komen situation. The freedom to give contraceptives or not out if you're a Catholic institution. It's all about freedom. But in the most critical place that we have got to deal with, in Dallas, Texas, there's an argument that we shouldn't have freedom. I have a problem with that, so I'm on a different camp, different side of that discussion. I believe freedom is choice. Choice creates excellence, and excellence graduates kids. Now, Uplift has got a pretty good record. 100% of their kids that graduate from their high school get accepted to college. 100%. We have given money to these rich schools, the St. Mark's, the Hockaday's, but when it comes to our poor kids in this city, we can't do it. Guys, we've got to come to terms with this. This is not about politics. This is not about neighborhoods. This is not about the old way of doing things. This is about the kids. And what we're going to be voting on in 2 weeks, or right now, is one of the most critical issues that the city of Dallas is facing, because we're either going to say we're going to help and lift up DISD, as Mr. Caraway said, by creating choice in everything we do, or we're going to go back and do it the same old way. And guys, there's a new frontier out there, and I think we can be courageous enough to break through it. I want everybody's questions answered, but I'm not going to personally stand for poor people to get bad education anymore. So I will entertain. We've had plenty of discussion. We have a motion on the floor to defer this for 2 weeks in a second. And Mr. Caraway wanted a record vote, so let's vote on that motion.
What are we voting on first, Mayor?
Excuse me? We're voting on Sheffy's motion. You want to reiterate it?
Motion was to defer this for 2 weeks, and we will have a briefing next week, and we'll have it'll come to council the following week.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Please, Ms. Rios, call the vote.
Please start voting. We're missing one vote. That's Ms. Medrano.
Yes.
All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor are Council Members Hunt, Margolin, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, Atkins. Voting against are Council Member Davis, Hasso, and Hill. Mayor Pro Tem Medrano is absent. Motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Davis.
Let me say this. I understand your passion for poor people. I've been poor all my life. I was born poor. But the only thing that I'm saying is that this is, Mr. Mayor, the only thing that I'm saying is that I support DISD. We have to fix, and you're right, we have to fix our school system. The concern I have is that it's the time in which this has happened.
I understand.
And your passion for this, if you could have came to us a month ago and to tell us this, then I have
Ms. Davis, let's talk about this later. For the record, I didn't know about it either.
But you made it sound, and let me be through with this. You made it sound as if everybody doesn't support poor schools. And that is not true.
Please, thank you. And I also misspoke on something else, and that is I said that somehow we gave money to Hockaday and St. Mark's, and I did not. I misspoke on that. We allowed this mechanism to be used for those schools. So thank you for that. Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We move now to items for individual consideration. Item number 25 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For your consideration, we do have individual and full council nominees as well. We will have chair and vice chair nominees. We also have multiple nominees for a vice chair appointment, which will be considered separately by ballot. For individual appointment to the Animal Shelter Commission is Robert Canas as the county official, nominated by Council Member Alonzo. Mary Spencer is Animal Welfare Representative, is nominated by Mayor Rawlings. To the Board of Adjustment, Christian Chernock. Appointment to Panel B is nominated by Council Member Hasso. Robert M. Moore is nominated by Council Member Koo for Panel C. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, John Paul Batiste, with Cultural Institute Management Experience, is nominated by Council Member Caraway. To the Community Development Commission, Eric Wilson is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the City Plan and Zoning Commission, Bruce Birnbaum is nominated by Council Member Koop. To the Dallas Citizens Police Review Board, Vicki Keene is nominated by Council Member Hasso. To the Civil Service Board Adjunct Members, Patricia Lee Gerson is nominated by Council Member Hasso. To the Landmark Commission, William Lyle Bergen, with experience in the redevelopment of community historical property, is nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the Park and Recreation Board, Rodney Sclosser is nominated by Council Member Grayson. To the Senior Affairs Commission, you have Gustavo E. Gonzalez is nominated by Mayor Rawlings with 55 plus years of age. For full council appointment, to the Board of Adjustment alternate members, Robert Agnick is nominated by Council Member Koop. To the Housing Finance Corporation Board, Eric Anderson is nominated by Council Member Koop. To the Reinvestment Zone 2 Board, City Place Area, as a registered voter, Kenneth Steinhardt is nominated by Council Member Koop. To the Reinvestment Zone 3 Board, Oak Cliff Gateway, as a registered voter, Don Gully is nominated by Council Member Hasso. To the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board, Farmers Market, Laura Zane Aveton, as a registered voter, is nominated by Council Member Hunt. To the Reinvestment Zone 7 Board, Sports Arena, Curtis Parker, the registered voter, is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. Richard J. Annand is a registered voter, is nominated also by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano. To the Reinvestment Zone 12 Board, Deep Ellum, Laura Zane Aveton is nominated as a registered voter by Councilmember Hunt. To the Reinvestment Zone 15 Board, Fort Worth Avenue, Raymond Salinas is a registered voter, is nominated by Councilmember Alonso.
We have a motion, and do we have a second? Second, Ms. Hill. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. For Chair nominee, Mary Poss is nominated again as Chair to the Reinvestment Zone 19 Board, Cypress Waters, by Mayor Rawlings. For your Vice Chair appointments, you have Matia James Flaviano to the Landmark Commission, nominated by Councilmember Coop, and Elizabeth Frizzell to the Judicial Nominating Commission by Councilmember Hill.
Do we have a motion? Move second. Move second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. You do have, again, multiple nominees as Vice Chair to the Animal Shelter, and these will be, staff will distribute ballots on these. Rebecca Poling is nominated by Councilmember Coop, and Johnny England is nominated by Councilmember Hasso. The ballots will be distributed, picked up, and then once the City Secretary has had a chance to calculate the ballot vote, we will bring it back later in the meeting, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have a...
If you'll please raise your ballot, staff will pick it up. Thank you. I'm sorry. We have two council members that have yet to cast their ballots. Thank you. All have cast their ballots. We proceed now to item number 26, which requires a motion that the City Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 2,743 square feet located in Kaufman County and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Lake Tawakoni 144-inch pipeline project. Is there a motion?
Yes.
Do we have a motion? Do we have a second? Ms. Margolin? Thank you.
Thank you. This item does require a record vote. I'll start the voting process.
26.
Item number 26. If you'll please start voting. Sorry, hold on. I'm sorry, we're having a problem with the voting.
Okay. I'm not coming on.
I'll need staff to handle the voting machine. It's not coming up. Thank you. While we're correcting the technical problems, I'll go ahead and read the names, and council members will please speak into the speakerphone so that your vote will be clear on the record. Mayor Rawlings?
Aye.
I'm sorry, Mayor.
Aye.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano is absent. Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins?
Yes.
Councilmember Hasso?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs? Is absent. Councilmember Carraway? Councilmember Hill?
Yes.
Councilmember Alonzo?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis is absent. Councilmember Kadane?
Yes.
Councilmember Allen?
Yes.
Councilmember Coop? Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Margolin?
Yes.
And Councilmember Hunt? Mr. Mayor, the motion passes.
Thank you. Next item.
Item number 27 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 9 acres of land located in Dallas County and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Lake Tawakoni 144-inch pipeline project. Is there a motion?
Yes, I move the motion for the record vote.
Do I have a second? Ms. Coop, second.
So please start voting. Thank you. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Hunt, Margolin, Carraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Grayson, Kadane, Atkins, and Hill. Absent when vote taken, Council Members Davis. I'm sorry, Ms. Hasso. And to clarify for the record, Council Member Hasso did vote yes. And also absent are Green. Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Council Members Gregg. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Next item.
Item number 28 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 188 square feet located near the intersection of Thomas Avenue and Hall Street in City of Dallas Block T587 and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the St. Thomas TIF Infrastructure Improvements Project. Is there a motion?
Yeah.
Move
yes,
to approve with record
approved.
Vote.
And Ms. Hunt asked for a record vote
yep.
And then seconded.
Second. Okay.
Yeah, please, Mr. Kadane.
I know that Rosa mentioned the power of eminent domain, but you didn't follow to say if is necessary. Is that correct? We're not doing this under the power of eminent domain. It's if such is necessary, correct?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, yes. when you read it, you read that we are going to empower eminent domain, not, and you need to follow with if such is necessary.
If
if we're going after them under that, I'm not going for it. Sorry.
Is it necessary?
Yes, just as a clarification, it should be read if such becomes necessary. On this particular one, improvements in St. Thomas, we do believe we have an agreement.
Okay.
Thank you. To correct the wording, the eminent domain will be exercised only if necessary.
Right.
I will start the voting process. Please start voting. I'm sorry, hold on. Please start voting. Thank you. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor are Council Members Hunt, Margolin, Hasso, Carraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Grayson, Kadane, Atkins, and Hill. Absent when vote taken are Council Member Davis, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, and Council Member Griggs. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor. Item number 28 requires a motion.
I want to address what Mr. Kadane said, if I can get the mayor to recognize me to speak.
I'm sorry, Ms. Hill. Judge, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I want to clarify what Mr. Cadain said. Mr. Cadain, if eminent domain becomes necessary, it does not come back for another vote. Okay, all right.
Please turn. Please, no one can hear what you're saying, Mr. Cadain.
My problem is that project is moving forward without eminent domain. But if we don't move forward, we can use eminent domain. That's correct.
And it does,
I understand.
It,
no, it won't come
not
back.
Come back for
no, I understand
vote.
That.
Okay. All right.
But
okay.
I the way it was read, that it was eminent domain,
okay.
And I understand. You're right.
Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have several of these eminent domains, so I was seeking clarification to make sure that we include the necessary verbiage if necessary. Item number 29 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if it becomes necessary to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 301,937 square feet of land located near the intersection of Interstate Highway 20 and Garden Grove Road in City of Dallas Block 8829 and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Southwest 120 and 96-inch water transmission pipeline project. Is there a motion?
Yes, move to approve agenda item 29 and require the record vote.
Second. Ms. Coop, seconded.
I'll start the voting process. Please start voting. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor are Council Members Margolin, Hasso, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonso, Grayson, Cadain, Atkins, and Hill. Absent when vote taken are Council Members Hunt, Davis, Carraway, Deputy or Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, and Council Member Griggs. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Carraway
seeks to clarify that he did vote in favor. Thank you. Item number 30 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if it becomes necessary to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 159,295 square feet of land located near the intersection of Interstate Highway 20 and Beltline Road in City of Dallas Block 8835 and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Southwest 120 and 96-inch water transmission pipeline project. Is there a motion?
Yes. I move the 10 item go forward with require a record vote.
We have a second. Ms. Hasso?
Please start voting. We're missing one vote. We're missing one vote. Or we can clarify for the record after. We're stopping the voting. Voting in favor are Councilmember Margolin, Hasso, Carraway, Allen, Coop, Rawlings, Alonzo, Grayson, Cadain, Atkins, and Hill. Absent when vote taken, Councilmember Hunt, Davis, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, and Councilmember Griggs.
We've already had the votes.
And Councilmember Davis wanted to clarify that she is voting no on item number 30.
Thank you.
Item number 31 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if it becomes necessary to acquire three tracts of land containing a total of approximately 495,023 square feet of land located in Dallas County and more fully described in Exhibit A
of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Southwest 120 and 96-inch water transmission pipeline project. Is there a motion?
Yes, a motion. Request record vote.
Ms. Hasso, second.
Please start voting. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor, Council Members Margolin, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonso, Grayson, Cadane, Atkinson, Hill, Council Member Davis is voting no. Absent when vote taken are Council Members Hunt, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, and Council Member Griggs. The motion does pass.
Thank you.
Thank you. We move now to... I'm sorry, for the record, Council Member Hunt voted yes on item number 31. We proceed now to item number 32, 33, and 34. I'm required to read the following statement for these items. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 32 does require 2 seconds. Authorize an economic development grant agreement pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Texas Local Government Code in accordance with the city's public-private partnership program, business development grant program with Corinth I-35 and Ledbetter LLC related to the development of a shopping center located at 4900 South R.L. Thornton Freeway I-35 in southern Dallas.
We have a motion, Mr. Kerwick.
Mayor, I proudly move approval of this item, number 32.
Ms. Hill?
Okay.
So do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. That's what I was just... Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hill.
Item number 33 is authorize a loan to Notre Dame Place, Inc., for the development of unimproved property located at 800 South Madison Avenue into affordable housing for seniors. This item does require 2 seconds.
Thank you. Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, this is these are 8 units that are across the street from a senior housing put by the same folks, so I wholeheartedly move to approve this.
Second. Do we have a motion and a second? Any discussion? I'm sorry, we had 2 seconds right here. Thank you. No discussion. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 34 is authorize an amendment to resolution number 11-1759 to increase the loan amount by $100,000 on an existing Chapter 380 economic development forgivable loan with Sapphire Road Development LLC for the acquisition of improved and unimproved properties located along the Lancaster Corridor Neighborhood Investment Program area, including associated closing costs, relocation, environmental remediation, demolition, and or pre-development costs for the purpose of constructing residential, retail, commercial, or mixed-use redevelopment as part of the economic development plan for the area. This item does require 2 seconds.
Move approval.
Second. Mr. Cadane, Mr. Atkins seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to your addendum items for individual consideration. Addendum item number 5 is a resolution designating absences by Council Member Dwayne Caraway as being for official city business.
We have
Council Member Caraway is leaving the council chambers. He has a conflict on this item.
Okay. Item number 5 in the addendum. Do we have a who is motion? Ms. Cadane motion,
Hasso.
Second. Any discussion?
Yes. Where'd he go?
Thank you. Any discussion about Mr. Caraway? Okay, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 6 is an ordinance waiving the disqualification of John E. Johnson, a renominee to the Landmark Commission, under Section 8-1.484 of the Dallas City Code, which states that an appointee to a board must not be an adversary party to a pending litigation or a claim against the city.
Ms. Alonzo, do we have a motion?
This item was placed on the agenda. Mr. Johnson is a nominee of Councilmember Margolin, who's absent at this point.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 7 is authorize a contract with Estrada Concrete Company, LLC, lowest responsible bidder of 8, for the reconstruction of alley paving, storm drainage, water, and wastewater main improvements for Alley Reconstruction Group 06-2027A.
We have a motion for approval. Mr. Caraway.
Yes, Mayor, let me say I asked last week for this item to be pulled 2 weeks ago. And as relates to this particular company, and as I promised Ms. Grayson and Ms. Coop, that we don't want to hold up the sidewalks. Let me proudly say that I did meet with these folks, and these are some upstanding individuals that will be doing the alley work. And so we had a chance to talk. We had a chance to come to grips with some things, and it worked out very well. So all in all, I want to proudly say thank you all for allowing me to trail into your districts, and today I proudly ask for the support of this item to be passed. Ms. Coops,
we got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Uh-huh. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your items this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I think we have an event at 12 o'clock up in the flag room, we will reconvene at what time do we say? 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. Thank you.
Council recess at 11:49.
All right, it's 1:07, and we'll reconvene for this afternoon session. Ms. Rios, you want to take us through the agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin with your zoning cases, your consent agenda items. Those do consist of agenda items number 35 through 39. However, item number 36 requires a three-quarters vote, so that will be pulled for individual. And item number 37, which has been pulled by Council Members Grayson and Council Member Hill. Again, for your consideration, you will have item number 35, 38, and 39, which are on your consent. I will read those into the record. Item number 35 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned a CRD1 community retail district with a D1 liquor control overlay at the southwest corner of Bruton Road and Masters Drive. Item number 38 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an RR regional retail district on property zoned an IR industrial research district on the west side of South Walton Walker Boulevard, north of West Ledbetter Drive. Item number 39 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a CR community retail district on property zoned an L1 light industrial district on the west corner of Interstate Highway 35 and Royal Lane. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items that would read into the record? Are there any speakers in favor of the items that would read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion for approval. Motion. And Ms. Hassos is second. Discussion. Mr. Allen.
Was this consent? Item number 39 was one of my items, and I just want to do a personal thank you to Quick Trip. They're in the audience here, and Quick Trip has just been such a delight to work with. Y'all have helped me on a situation I had in my district whereby I had an aging building that y'all were able to tear down and demolish.
But from that experience, I learned really what a class operation Quick Trip is. And I really just want to give a personal shout out to Quick Trip and all of the employees, because I know that y'all do involve the employees in ownership and such. And so it's just a class operation. And again, thanks for coming to my neck of the woods, and I continue to look forward to doing business with y'all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Any other discussion?
No.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Item number 36, which requires a three-quarters vote, is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an NSA Neighborhood Service District on property zoned in R-7.5A Single Family District on the north side of Lake June Road, west of St. Augustine Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent eight notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request, received one reply in favor and one reply in opposition. However, due to the opposition of owners for more than 20% of the land area within 200 feet of their request, this will require a three-quarter vote.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Please step up to the podium, ma'am. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. If you'll please state your name and address for the record.
Hello, my name is Socorro Hernandez, and my address is 823 Shady Brook Lane, Red Oak, Texas, 75154. And I am the owner of Lake June Road, and I wanted to see if you can support me with my proposal. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on item number 36, in favor of item number 36? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Judge Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor and Council, I am going to defer this item for 2 weeks. I did not learn about the opposition, ma'am, until yesterday, but I understand that it didn't have to be in until yesterday, which would explain why I didn't learn about it until yesterday. I want to get a better understanding of what that opposition is. I am very much leaning towards what the staff and CPC recommended, very much so. But I need to have a clear understanding of what the opposition is, and so I'm going to move that this item be deferred for 2 weeks.
Ms. Morgan seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor of the deferment, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 37 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of and an amendment to specific use permit number 1682 for an alcoholic beverage establishment for a private club bar on property zoned ACR Community Retail District at the southeast corner of Midway Road and Frankfurt Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent six notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request, received one reply in favor and one reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No. Sir, if you'd please step up to the podium. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hello, my name is Jim Beer. I'm the business owner. My address is 17923 Meadow Chase Way, Dallas, Texas. I appreciate your support in the past. This is our second renewal, and if anybody has any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer them. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm going to move to close the public hearing and follow the staff recommendation for approval.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to your individual items. Item number 40 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a bail bonds office on property within the Mixmaster Riverfront sub-area of Plan Development District Number 784, the Trinity River Corridor Special Purpose District, at the west corner of Riverfront Boulevard and Bessemer Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 6 notices. Property owners within 200 feet of their request received 2 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and make a motion to accept the recommendation of staff and CPC for this item, please.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 41 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the amendment to and renewal of specific use permit number 1653 for an outside industrial potentially incompatible use on property zoned in IM Industrial Manufacturing District with deed restrictions on the north side of Mañana Street west of Newkirk Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 5 notices to property owners within 400 feet of their request, received 1 reply in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. Once again, I move to close the public hearing on this item and make a motion to approve or recommend the staff and CPC recommendations, please.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 42 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a child care facility on property zoned in DA Duplex District on the northwest corner of Webb Chapel Road and Park Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request, received 1 reply in favor and 2 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, if you'll please step up to the podium. If you'll please state your name and address for the record.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Michael Coker, 2700 Swiss Avenue, Dallas, Texas, representing the applicant in this case. Be glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and make a motion to accept the recommendation of staff and CPC for this item.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 43 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a financial institution with drive-in window and a resolution accepting an amendment to the deed restrictions on property zoned in LO3 Limited Office District on the northeast corner of West Illinois Avenue and South Vernon Avenue.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 33 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request, received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Ma'am, if you'll please step up to the podium, state your name and address for the record. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak.
Mr. Mayor, council members, and staff, thank you very much. My name is Tonya Rachel, 2803 Roxborough Road, Euless, Texas, speaking on behalf of Comerica Bank. We'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
I move that we close the public hearing and that we approve the request. All the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed, and everyone will remember this is the Comerica holdover case from December and January. So welcome. We can't wait for you to move in. You'll be a great neighbor. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Mr. Allen. Oh, okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number Thank you. Item number 44 and 45 do require 2 seconds. I will read the following statement, which will apply to both. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Item number 44 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and expansion of Plan Development District Number 366, the Buckner Boulevard Special Purpose District, on property zoned a TH3A Townhouse District, an R-7.5A Single Family District, and a portion of the Subarea 1 of Plan Development District Number 366, with a D-liquor control overlay in the northwest quadrant of Buckner Boulevard and Blossom Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 47 notices to property owners within 5 feet of their request, received 3 replies in favor, and 1 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor? Sir, please state your name and address for the record.
Carl Raines, Chairman, Southeast Dallas Chamber of Commerce, address 1445 Waterside, Dallas, Texas. Good afternoon, Mayor Rawlings and Council. I'm here today on behalf of the Chamber of Board to tell you that we've looked at this project and that we support the project for Walmart. This retail store will expand property tax base for us, add more retail sales tax dollars. In addition, it will add an additional employment opportunities for people in our community. I want to thank Councilman Carraway, that's in his district, for helping us with this project in the past. And I would encourage each one of you to support the Walmart. I've also talked to our counterpart, the Hispanic Chamber in Southeast, and they're in support of this project also. I thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. At this time, I'd like to close the public hearing and accept the approval of CPC for item number 44.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
We need 2 seconds.
We have 3.
Thank you.
We have 3.
No discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 45 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of greater than 3,500 square feet on property within the subarea 1 portion of Plan Development District Number 366, the Buckner Boulevard Special Purpose District, with a D-liquor control overlay on the west line of Buckner Boulevard between Bearden Lane and Blossom Lane.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 15 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request, received 3 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Once again, on item 45, I'd like to close the public hearing and approve item number 45 according to the CPC's approval.
We've got a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, if you'll recall earlier in the day, we were considering a tiebreaker for 2 nominees to the Animal Shelter Commission as vice chair. Results of the balloting show that Rebecca Poling received 4 votes. Johnny England received 9 of the majority. Therefore, Johnny England is presented for your consideration.
Thank you.
Motion. We need a motion.
Oh, we have a motion to...
No, we need a motion and a second to appoint Johnny England as vice chair to the Animal Shelter.
Entertain a motion for Johnny England to...
Mr. Mayor, I make the motion to approve Johnny England as the vice chair of the Animal Commission.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
That concludes your items this afternoon, Mr. Mayor. We proceed now with your afternoon speakers. Your speakers will be Derek Brown, Richard Hill, Jada Wooten, LaKoya London, Ozumba Lunks, William Hopkins, Marvin Crenshaw, Robert Ceccarelli, Lakeisha Johnson, Richard Sheridan, and Gwen Wooten. I'll first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker is Derek Brown. The next speaker will be Richard Hill, Jada Wooten, LaKoya London, and Ozumba Lunks. If I've called your name, you may go ahead and come down a little bit closer to the podium. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Derek Brown, 4558 West Keys Boulevard, apartment 2051. Some of the areas that have the school closures in them, it just say the school closures take place and they do close the schools and kids have to be bused. If they're under 200 miles, 2 miles, if they're under 2 miles, they have to walk. Some of those children have to walk to schools. Some of those schools are the crossings. They have crossing guards to cross the intersections, but they're on busy streets. And that better's one. I think 8th and Corinth is one. And over in those different areas, a lot of those streets are busy streets. I mean, just because you have school zones up now, people still flying. It's just an unsafe thing. We need more signs in those areas. Some of those areas I drove by don't have signs in them visible now. I don't know if that's a city issue or who we get with that, so I'm bringing to the council now and get some signs up in them areas. And possibly the children, like some of these babies are 4, 5 years old, 6. I mean, that's just a small age. His parents ain't got cars. So we got to do something about that. I'm just looking at the signs over there. The buses as far as the popular getting the children. So I think that 2 mile thing should be pushed with the, y'all need to put some pressure on them or something about getting them babies to school and don't have them babies walking in the area. I mean, if you look at the places like Ledbetter, I mean, that's a street within itself that ain't no traffic slowing down with the school zones right now. So you don't really have cops out there patrolling that area right now as far as writing no tickets. It ain't happening right there. But we need some signs up, something to be done about that. I'm just looking at the safety of them children that have to walk. That's under that 2 mile. You know, what can we do about that together as a city? I know what we can do as parents, but what can we do together as a city thing and make that a city issue, something to focus on? Thank you.
Your next speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Mr. Brown, we'll come back in just 1 second. Let me say, and I'll be kind of quick. You brought up excellent points, and some of the points that I've had a lot of major concern, I'm sure this council have concerns about. For example, the closing of the Harrell School over by Townview.
Right.
Those kids in the bottom in the 10th Street area will now have to cross Corinth.
Right.
And that's right at the DART rail station. And to walk 2 miles to Albert Sidney Johnston,
which is not something
that we, the city of Dallas, are in control of. That's number one. But number two, we have a responsibility to make sure that all folks are safe.
Right.
So your points are great. I just wanted to kind of share with the council that for this one particular school that I'm speaking of, they have to go across Corinth, and that's at the foot of the Trinity River Bridge, where the DART rail station is, with buses pulling out and the DART rail trains going.
Right.
And as you so stated, children that are, and I'm speaking of babies, that are 5, 6, and 7 years old, who mom does not have a car, they have to walk to school because they are accustomed to coming out of the bottom and from Monahan Courts and all around in that area, walking safely to that school and walking safely home. So I think, and our police are here,
But I want to say to the Dallas Police Department and is that we cannot assume the responsibility of just trying to be the traffic cops. So you mentioned the cross guards. I think we're hearing that, and the mayor, they're going to come up with some
crossing guards. They only cross that intersection.
No, I understand. But I'm saying a better job with these crossing guards. Right. I'm saying DISD. They must step up to the plate. The county, the city, DISD, their police, and we will add and supplement as much safety as possible. But I want to assure you that what you just spoke about is something that's beyond the $11 million of closing schools trying to save the school,
right.
More than a few more dollars going toward the safety and the transportation of these little babies that are going to have to find their way through neighborhoods, and hopefully they'll be able to meander and find their way home because they have much longer distance to travel.
Right.
So no response. I understand that. I just want to sanction what you were saying and let you know it's on our plate, and that's something that we will be vigorously speaking of and trying to make sure that we get a plan on. All right. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm hoping that, you know, the schools that are being closed, that, Mayor, that somehow that we find out, will these kids be picked up by a school bus to go from one school to another school, or how far is distance when it comes to walking the kids to school, and what will happen to those particular crossing guards that are there now? And I think they are paid through the city of Dallas. I'm not for sure. I think they are.
Yep.
Okay. And the other thing, and the last thing, is that these are, I think, a real important question that needs to be answered. And I agree with Ms. Caraway. You know, how would DISD handle this particular situation? Thank you so much.
You know, why don't we, since this is a cousin of the issue we talked about this morning, try to get some of those answers for next week's briefing, too, so we could do just a, I don't want to get way too deep into the school closings, but just a little education on all that so we'll all be aware of that and answer those questions, Ms. Davis. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Richard Hill. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is Father Richard Hill. I live at 1125 Pemberton Hill Road. I'm the president of the Pemberton Hill Neighborhood Association and Crime Watch. I'm also a supporter of Let's Cowboy Up, the only horse-based not-for-profit in our whole area. First, I would like to tell you how much trouble it's been for me to get here today. Mrs. Jamie Satterwhite has been contacted by us at least four times, the director of the horse park, Ben Casey, twice, Glenda and Councilwoman Jones Hill's office twice, all promising me that we would be notified every time the horse park was brought up. We have emailed the Trinity River Development Organization, Don Burns, and the Park Department. We've left messages on the Horse Park Facebook pages requesting notification of all meetings as we had input. To this minute, we've never been notified of any meeting, nor has our input ever been sought. There has never been a meeting of the area people about the horse park. Never. This is not just an oversight. Our groups represent information about this area that those who want this horse park at any cost do not want you to know. Some of the unaddressed business risk of this project include a very large coyote population, a large and growing population of wild and dangerous hogs, two packs that we've documented of wild dogs, a large panther that's been seen ranging this area for over 3 years and is well documented, blankets of mosquitoes that carry West Nile that have already killed horses in this area, an Indian burial ground that has not been taken into consideration, several old large dump sites that have not been adequately marked, and animal butchering waste that's buried exactly where the buildings are now planned to be built. Most of the area of the horse park is still muddy today. As I came in, I checked it from the small flood of January 28th. The only people doing the community service that the horse park claims to be their mission is being forced out of our area because of the horse park. Let's Cowboy Up already partners with the police, the churches, and the community to bring a horse-based experience to at-risk kids, and they do it mostly at their own expense. When the horse park has had trail rides, including the one with Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson, Let Cowboy Up had to show them where their own trails were, as no one with the horse park has ever spent enough time in our area to even know what's there. We know the genuine nature of the Let Cowboy Up people by the changes we see in the at-risk kids that they favor. We know the true nature of those pushing for this horse park by the way they've shut out groups that can tell you, the people they want to pay for this tax dollar money pit, what it really would take to make the horse park a success. Please vote no on any request to move this project along until it is approached with a business perspective. Please get new people with business backgrounds and start over. This is the only way that this horse park is ever going to make any horse sense. We have proof of every one of these allegations. I would welcome questions. We've never been approached. We've never had any meetings, and we would welcome it. Les Cowboy Up is being moved out of our area because of this horse park, which claims that they're going to be doing the exact same thing that Les Cowboy Up is doing. One word that has never been mentioned in any of the documentation is rodeo. And if you're not doing Western work, what are you doing putting a horse park down in our neighborhood? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Jada Wooten, not present. LaCoya London. While Ms. London is coming down, the next speakers will be Ozumba Lunks, William Hopkins, Marvin Crenshaw, Robert Ciccarelli, Lakeisha Johnson, Richard Sheridan, and Gwen Wooten. If I've called your name, if you would please come closer to the podium, we would appreciate it. Thank you. Please state your name and address for the record, ma'am.
My name is LaCoya London, and I live at 1716 Chattanooga Place, apartment 1228, Dallas 75235. Okay. I have rest a poem, really, that I wrote, actually. Okay. It's amazing how 11 schools are being closed, and the city of Dallas has not stepped up to tell DISD, no, they're not. It's amazing how a little black girl named Kyla London was handcuffed by two white Dallas policemen at the age of 9 and taken to a mental hospital called Timberland back in April 2011. It's amazing how an acting chief of police here in Dallas, Texas, told me that she was handcuffed for her safety. It's amazing how I have never seen a sick person handcuffed and taken to a hospital, especially a minor. It's amazing how her school may be closed illegal according to the PEI government laws and code. It's amazing how an ambulance is not called also for her the day that she was taken to that Timberland. Okay, it's amazing how metrocarditis, child, Concerta, and hydroclonidine to make her behave, but instead she had symptoms of a stroke and nearly died. It's amazing how the doctor there said, quote unquote, your daughter has a symptom of psychosis. It's amazing how she was held down by some doctors there for 30 minutes or more until the police came. It's amazing how the medicine took over that 9-year-old's child, that 9-year-old's mind and body, and made her stronger than a 300-pound man. It's amazing how Metrocare abandoned my child after they made her sick. It's amazing how now she takes no medicine and is doing better and not sick again. It's amazing that I filed a grievance against DISD and the teachers and the principal there, and nothing was done. It's amazing that I contacted Mr. Gilberto Gonzalez, and he did nothing also. It's amazing that they are still trying to close these 11 schools. And when they put all these kids together in a low-performing school like T.L. Mercedes that my daughter was in, all they going to do is send them to Metrocare. Metrocare going to say they have ADHD, and they going to get them on medicine. That's the point of me writing this, so you can understand where I'm going with this. So how are you helping the children is the question. I don't see you helping the children at all. So I think the city of Dallas needs to step up and help DISD instead of Uplift or whoever that is. Because, I mean, the charter schools might be better to y'all. It sounds like it's money that's involved. So thank you and have a good day.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunks, not present. William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins will be followed by Marvin Crenshaw, Robert Ciccarelli, Lakeisha Johnson, Richard Sheridan, and Gwen Wooten.
My name is William Hopkins. I'm gonna talk about the children. The lady just got through talking about the children. I'm gonna tell you a story about Gabriel Bates. He was an 11-year-old kid, Merrill. He was going to Amelia Earhart. His mother, lead level, Paula Bates, the Bates family, their lead level was one of the highest lead levels in West Dallas. His mother lead level around about 230-something. So Gabriel, about 11 years old, he was going to Amelia Earhart. So a police officer went and picked up Gabriel and took him to jail and kept him overnight. And he told him, if you say you raped this little 3-year-old child, then we're going to take you to McDonald's and we're going to take you home with your mother. So he got, Gabriel was in special ed, and they got another little 7- and 8-year-old. The 7- and 8-year-old couldn't talk at all. But the police went to court, the Dallas police officer went to court and told the court at Henry Wade Juvenile Home that he interviewed the 7- and 8-year-old, and they told him that the 7- and 8-year-old and Gabriel raped a 3-year-old child. The 7- and 8-year-old, Merrill, can't even talk. They go to Emilia Hart. I try to get Child Protective Service to come to court, the Henry Wade to come to court and to tell that this Dallas police officer was lying, that these children can't even talk. So he couldn't have interviewed them, and he couldn't have told the story that they told. But after he kept them all overnight and he did take Gabriel to McDonald's after they got through with the interview the next day. They did take him to McDonald's, and they took him to a Henry Wade Juvenile Home, and he stayed in jail by 12 years for rape. I took John Wiley Price and Lee Jackson, the sexual assault from the 3-year-old, Merrill. The child wasn't raped from a Children's Medical Center. They had a sexual assault test did on the 3-year-old. Wasn't nothing wrong with the 3-year-old. Gabriel Bates stayed in prison 12 years, Merrill. He was going to Amelia Earhart. He was a special ed child. They took the 7- and 8-year-old from their mother. They was all in special ed. The Dallas police officer go to Amelia Earhart, get 3 special ed children, keep them overnight, and they come up with a rape story. Gabriel just got out of prison 12 years for rape that a 3-year-old would never was a terrorist. So that's what y'all supposed to care about the children. And I told you about it. My son was robbed at Kimball High School with a hunting knife. I'm still waiting on Sergeant Anderson to get back with me. The nurse allegedly was a Ku Klux Klan member. She was at Kimball High School. That's probably why Sergeant Anderson can't do nothing about the nurse that left my son in there and never called the police, never called the ambulance. My son stayed in the nurse's office with 30-some stitches. Sergeant Anderson know all about the stitches. How he stayed in the nurse's office all day, bleeding almost to death. Nurse never called the police. She never called the ambulance for my son. About 4 hours later, we went up to the school and picked him up and took him to the doctor. I'm still waiting on Sergeant Anderson to get back with me. Sergeant Cato was one of the officers that left my son, left the child in the school with that had robbed my son. Sergeant Cato, he's one, and Sergeant Anderson won't talk to Cato. He won't talk to Sergeant Officer Sims. I don't know why. I don't know if it's the Ku Klux Klan that Sergeant Anderson is afraid of at the Southwest Station or what. But I'm still waiting on Sergeant Anderson to get back with me about my son.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Marvin Crenshaw. Not present. Robert Ceccarelli. Robert Ceccarelli will be followed by Lakeisha Johnson, Richard Sheridan, and Gwen Wooten.
Yeah, Robert Ceccarelli, 5302 Harry Hines Boulevard. I'm sending information to the mayor, Caraway, Ms. Davis. Eventually, I'll get there. It has to do with the article today in today's paper about $79 million is going to be misfunded if you don't get corrected with the child left behind. I was here this morning, and Ms. Davis and Ms. Caraway, honey, I sent a letter, email to Ms. Nuttall. Okay, about when I spoke in September again at Lincoln High School about how to improve the schools. The parents gave me an ovation. I would just hope that please you speak to Ms. Nuttall, and she got the email, and I will hand deliver it to you, to Mr. Caraway, Ms. Davis, Mayor Rollins, Friday afternoon. All right? Now, I saw the Lincoln High administration in January because they liked what I had to say, and we went do it further. The email has to do with year-round. The next letter I'm going to give to you next week has to do with the schools being increased by 2 hours per day. So I hope that please do that, and she will tell you what happened at the meeting, and the parents liked it, and it will help Ms. Davis a lot with the DISD. Now, with this morning with the charter schools, Mayor, 100% graduation throws a lot of red flags to me immediately. So next week, I would hope that you ask the people from the charter school the retention of the ninth graders to 12th grade, meaning what percentage stay there for 4 years, okay? It could be 50%, 60%. It's very important because 100% means a lot of them had to be dropping out. I mean, unless they're all great students. The second one is the grade levels from the ninth grade to the 12th grade. If there's any increase in grade level for that charter school. And the third thing is to make sure there's no cheating on the exams. You know, that's a big problem. People want to prove that they have great schools. There's a lot of cheating involved with the test scores. So those three, I think, you really would look into. Also, please let me know about Mike Fianza. The MDH meetings at the library have been canceled for 9 years. As soon as I got there, they've been canceled. I'd really like to know if you find it validated what I've been saying, or please come to me next week and let me know if I'm wrong or please do that, because that would increase my validity to the other city council members. The last thing is Back to My Feet, sir. You're doing a presentation next week, the Back to My Feet, the running organization. They're not homeless, sir. They're in programs like myself. Homeless is people coming off the streets, people in the general population being kicked out or living under bridges, not by HUD standards. So please make sure you get that straight next week, because you're misleading a lot of people. Also, you got a lot of sponsorships, a lot of money. It might help your campaigns, but, sir, they also feature the vets only at Salvation Army. It's all vets. They don't get the word around to other people about the homeless situation. I did not know it for 9 months, so please make sure you do that, because they are misleading the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Lakeisha Johnson.
Hi, my name is Lakeisha Johnson, and I have an apology.
You can move the mic just down a little bit closer to you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lakeisha Johnson, and I have an apology. I have a little girl go to Arlington Park. I moved to the Rosemont apartment because of the school, so I would have to walk way across town to get my tail from my school across the highway. I don't have a car and I don't drive, but I had to. It's amazing how Arlington Park has been closed for more than given. Thank you for being rude. Yeah, it's amazing. At this time, Arlington Park kept Simpson filled with 113% kids and recognized with nobody at DISD or the City Hall how listened to our parable for more kids there. It's amazing that my town that has to change as well as other kids because of the closure of the schools. It's amazing that the city of Dallas has no concern for DISD, but plenty put up there. It's amazing that the board members, trustees of DISD, talked to Deion Sanders about the possibility of opening charter schools. It's amazing that I am no shape to walk my tail across a highway. I have a problem with that. I have an eight-year-old came to me crying. They are petitions that were never looked at by nobody. These kids went out and they did petitions and did nobody look at them. They got those inside. My child walked from door to door the petition she started. She got 8 years to keep her school open. So she won't have to go to another school. This school is a high performing school, and she should be a national on every underworld. Now my mother is up late at night crying because she can't figure out why her school is being closed. And we see y'all there. Now I got tickets in. I walk on my chair across a busy highway. And I can get her, and she can get her. So I'm leaving Dallas. Y'all can have Dallas.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Ms. Johnson, I'm going to have a lady by the name of Sue Ann Durham meet with you because I want to make sure we take care of all your issues, okay?
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway.
Ms. Johnson, before you go, let me just kind of clarify just a few things. I understood exactly what you were saying. One, to the council, she lives in Arlington Park, and her son is 8 years old. Your daughter is 8 years old. And it's the same situation as I spoke earlier about Harrell School with the kids crossing over Corinth. And having to have to deal with the situation in the Arlington Park area, and it's behind St. Paul Hospital. The kids will have to leave St. Paul and leave Arlington Park, and they have two challenges to get to school. One, to cross Harry Hines, is where she's speaking of, or to go across I-35, the freeway. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that so they could know geographically what the challenge is. And so we, the city council and the mayor, of course, we are not the ones responsible for the closings of the schools, but I think that we will find ourselves at the table trying to make sense with them so that the right plan can be adapted to the problems and concerns that you have, okay? So that's the same concern, and there's other concerns all over the city, but it is being taken under consideration. All right. If you talk to Ms.
You can talk to Ms. Durham.
And
okay,
we'll go
that's
from
why.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Richard Sheridan. Richard Sheridan will be followed by Gwen Wooten.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Richard Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. Mayor and City Council, I appreciate being here. I'm here to talk about the Texas Horse Park and the Trinity River Park Plan. Or maybe the title should be, Why Are We Putting the Cart Before the Horse? It's been 13 years since the 1998 Trinity bond vote where the nation's greatest urban park, a quote, world-class park, was voted on and promised to be built by elected officials. Fast forward, and where is the park? Virtually all attention and money has been given to building special interest, equestrian, and Audubon centers. The design are four times the cost of a normal bridge, Calatrava Bridge, a Texas horse park, canoe rapids that might drown people, and an against most laws of engineering and common sense park degrading surface tollway inside the levees. There's a mouthful for you. The tollway will be protected from the 100-year flood, but the park will not. Where is the park? The soccer and football fields, the picnic facilities, the softball and baseball fields, the basketball courts, the bicycling paths, the frisbee golf courses, and the pony rides and horseback riding. In my opinion, the secret Trinity River Plan is not about an urban park with recreational facilities for thousands of minority Dallasites to recreate in daily to get relief from the urban burden, but about an urban billboard, a picture postcard, a Turtle Creek-like special interest access park for Dallas special people. The Trinity River Park is about money, image, and special people. And Dallas is about money, image, and special people. Dallas trademarks. Where's we the people? There's been recent discussions of the horse park and how it would be great for convention goers and that we owe it to the voters and that it'll be a world-class facility. I think the words world-class and economic development are carrots to get voters to accept what politicians propose even though it's not in their interest. Question, why is the proposed horse park 7 miles from downtown Dallas and the Equestrian Center and Audubon Center miles from downtown city? Certainly conventioners and tourists would want some Texas culture, horseback riding and the other items, right down by Commerce. Right down by Continental. The existing surface highway has delayed the development of the park. The folly of building a highway in a flood zone has been stopped in its tracks because of unacceptable and unsafe levees. This looks like karma to me. There's a tollway alternative that has been ignored to date that could have avoided the dilemma and major delay we're in now. Why has perhaps the best Trinity Tollway attorney been ignored by multiple government agencies, including the city, the county, the Army Corps, the U.S. Congress, NTTA, DOT, and I go on? In a public hearing, Mayor Leppin said he would build it right away, but we can't afford it. Who said we can't afford it? Who's done a cost-benefit analysis that would recover 30% of the flood zone and allow us to have a San Antonio and an Austin Town Lake venue? The components of the new Vision Trinity Tollway Tunnel are right in front of us in today's Trinity River in the proposed surface tollway highway design and in Woodall decking. Jill Jordan and Paul Dwyer both share with me two components. One is in Fort Worth, where they extended out the levee and put a permanent structure in the floodway, and up in Farmers Branch, where they just widened the river and made a lake. So we got the answers, but politically it can't be because, again, we're looking at special interests. Thank you.
Your final speaker, Gwen Wooten, is not present. That concludes your speakers this afternoon, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you all. We have a motion to move for approval and second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. 1:55 p.m. Thank you.